This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
FUBAR! You're listening to me, Richard Herring. This is my voice speaking now. Who are you?
I'm Lily.
Lily Sanders, and she's got her crystals with us.
Today?
Why have you got your crystals with you?
Bring in a crystal. There's a rabbit next door.
I know there is, but you know that's avoiding my question of where the crystal, what the crystals are doing on skeptical desk.
I sleep with these crystals, and then I hurt myself one of them, and I pop them in my bag, and I was, oh, I have these crystals on a table.
You hurt yourself on one of your crystals in bed.
Yes.
You rolled onto one of them.
Rolled onto one of my crystals. Anyway, FUBAR listeners don't want to hear about this, do they?
They do. I think they very much do. But I'll talk to you more as we do. We have much more fun in between when the records are on, don't we?
Stuff I've just told you.
It's just unbelievable what's going on. So there's lots of fun stuff coming up. And we'll talk about that in a second. I feel like I've just woken up. I've been awake for...
Yeah, you're a bit...
I woke up really early this morning.
I should drive this show because you,
you
are
should.
In no fit state. Look at you.
What did they say? Who said that was the wrong one, sorry. I'm terrible. I'm in a terrible state. I was trying to press this one.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders.
I think they're on loop as well. It's on loop.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders.
There we go. We just pretend that bit never happened. We're not even doing this live. We could have edited that out, but we have no respect for you. But we will be live. We're doing the next one. We're having a week off next week, Lulu.
Yes, why?
Because I'm going to St. Petersburg. I'm going to try and talk the Russians out of the war that they're having with Ukraine.
I'll do a vlog about it.
I might do that. And let's see how that goes. And then we'll be back. And it'll be an actual live show. So I just thought I would do something like that to show you what that will be like. And remember, of course.
Hey, it's just our first day.
Let's see, that's on a loop as well.
Imagine a live show.
No, that was not on a loop. That's weird.
Literally, no going back.
There'll be no going back. There'll be nothing. We can't do it. We just do these. Look, you can tell from the way it's coming out that, we do it as live anyway. It's just you can't join in. So you'll be able to join in on the 1st of May. It'll be a May Day surprise, a May Day holiday. Here is what is coming up in this show very soon. What's in the bag? But with a twist.
Tell me more.
The twist is I've brought the bag in with the stuff and there's some doozies in there. Don't you worry.
I did get an email from you. You're just emptying all of your body fluids into one bag.
I've just spent the whole week.
Oh my God, I was excited.
I've been weeing in a bag, wanking in a bag, pooing in a bag, in a different bag.
It's going to be easy to guess then, isn't it?
I've got some cat poo. I've got some cat wee. I've been putting all my sweat. I've been sort of dripping that into...
Has anyone ever said to you, grow up?
No. So what's in the bag? That'll be coming up very, very soon. We've got Dickie's Diary, Richard's Blog, whatever you want to call it. You can decide. No meaning of life this week because, I've run out of material to give. I don't want to give it all away, but you can go and listen to Meaning of Life as a podcast if you want. Our guest, very exciting, is, almost the most famous person we've probably had on. Probably the most famous guest we've had on.
Yes, so far, thus far.
Yeah, in a way that... a piece of Lass's dog shit is more famous than other dog shit. I guess
you're probably the most famous person.
I'm the most famous. Alex Zane, that's pretty good. He used to be on Pop Zane. World with that chick.
I'm
that
probably
nice chick.
Get pregnant.
You might do. He's very sexy. I find him quite sexy, and I'm not really that much into guys, just a little bit.
Could you move your shades? Because you've got this loopy hair at the front. It's really distracting.
That's why I put them. My wife gets upset about me having shades because I never wear them. I just keep them in. I use them as a kind of Alice band. But a kind of cool Alice band, I was wearing them last night and my wife said it was night time. And I'd forgotten they were there, to be honest.
Alice. Who's that rocker?
I was out like Alex Cooper. I was out...
Alex Cooper.
I was out... I was out at a lecture about Muslim and Arabic scientists from the 10th century last night. I might talk about that if more stuff comes up. I could talk about the real reason I'm going to St. Petersburg to research the life of Felix Yusupov, one of the assassins of Rasputin, for a play I'm writing. We'll talk about that probably in the second or third. I might ask Alex Zane a bit about that, see what he knows about the assassination of Rasputin. There'll be news stories coming up. Have you prepared any news stories?
I've got one. one, man.
One?
But I've written three stories.
There's so many
stories. I've written three stories. And who do you prefer? The real stories or my stories?
I would prefer the real stories, as you're meant to do. That's all you're meant. That's all you're meant to do. There will be some take a book, which
you're lucky I turn up, mate. The amount I've been paid.
You know, I'm very lucky. Take a book, which is Lou's attempts to write novels. By well, it's not, you haven't finished because you haven't finished the entire novel. It's the first page of
actually,
lots of novels.
This one is continued from last week.
Oh, great! So I'll look forward to that. I remember. I remember last week's one. And there's no by Lua House. How's that been going for you? Nothing coming in. Nothing coming
don't
in.
Ask.
You can tweet us at herring1967 or at Lou Sanders. You can email us herring@foobarradio.com. And just think the next time we're on, you'll be able to do that live. And we'll just find out exactly how many people are listening. Because our listeners are playing it pretty cool by not really emailing in that much in the week. But Gaz from Runcorn has emailed in finally after two weeks. It was a rollover.
What's he bloody won?
He's won the Oxo Cubes and Vinegar.
Oh, you'll never guess about that. Did you hear?
What?
Someone took them, so we didn't have to recreate.
I know, we're going to pretend, though.
No, but we can just lick the top again.
So I have to put my finger in the baby food and you're going to lick it again.
Yeah.
You're going to lick it in a more sexy way for Gaz from Runcorn.
Yeah, I went for Old Trump last time.
But Richard Wiggins came close. I mean, you know, they had 2 weeks to email in and Gaz, and then he was literally within hours of Gaz. So we're going to send Richard Wiggins a signed photo of Stuart Lee, but it's signed by me.
Yes.
So that is worth... I don't know if that's worth more or less. Less, probably. That is a consolation prize to you. We got some marriage proposals in. For I think that's what we were talking about last week. It's a good show last week. I think it's going to be hard to top that.
It was brilliant.
We are both on fire. This is from Alison in Bedford. My boyfriend proposed to me whilst I needed a wee really badly. I accepted straight away so I could relieve my bulging bladder. That sounds like she went yes and then did a Paula Radcliffe. Right in front of him, said
you
yes.
Take it back,
and then he goes, yeah, no, not sure I do want to marry you after all. Too late, we're engaged. We've been happy married for 5 years. I don't regret my toilet-based decision, she says.
So
that's good. So that's quite a good piece of advice if you're trying to propose someone. Mm. Wait till fill them with water or other liquids.
Yeah.
And then wait until they're... keeping you up?
Yep.
And just yawning. I mean, it's not that bad. This is a nice idea.
I was thinking just marry someone that likes you. Don't
you could do that. Make them drink loads of water and don't let them go to the toilet and then go, will you marry me? And they go, yes, anything to get out of this.
I bet they
might. I had to stop my mate, Pete from Davenport. It might be Pete Davenport.
It might be.
I had to stop my mate Darren phoning his girlfriend to propose whilst drunk in a kebab shop at 2 a.m. Oh. That's the kind of thing you would do, Lou.
His girlfriend probably the way.
During one of the records, Lou said to me,
I'm going to say this.
It's all right. She said, I've had enough of anal scientists.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was going somewhere else. I have to say. I was going, well, that's very, very candid of you, Lou. I wasn't planning on, exploring that particular route. I see it as an exit, not an entrance. I'm too old for that now.
I do.
Yeah. Hi, Rich and Lou. This is to both of us.
Oh, that's nice.
In response to Lou saying that her friend put an ex's name as her Facebook status, I once accidentally tweeted the name of a guy I was mildly stalking. That was pretty terrible. Also, I accidentally liked something on his girlfriend's Facebook page when I extended the stalking to her. That was a low even for me. That's Kate from Salisbury.
Oh, dear.
Sounds... I mean, that is, it's nice we've got stalkers emailing in and letting us know what's been going on. Shall we play What's in the Bag?
Yeah!
Are you going to come round?
Yeah.
I've got, there's a few things in the bag.
It better not be really horrible.
You will find out how horrible they are. I have to stay here. We're being filmed during this, Lou. It's so exciting. Don't look in.
Oh, yeah. I've got them posted.
Have a feel. There's lots of different things in here. Lou is reaching into the bag. It's an M&S bag that I paid 10p for. Forever Fish. It's got
okay,
an...
Okay, this is a...
What have you found first? She's... Yeah, this... if you can get exactly what this is, that'll be amazing. It's kind of...
Of the tennis lady lifting her skirt up to reveal her.
No, it isn't. That is a leaflet for Cheddar Gorge. So if you're ever in the Cheddar region, come to Cheddar Gorge. I used to work there. There's a tour bus. There's all sorts of stuff there. You did not get that.
Something stinks.
Yeah, what? Have a feel.
GMT. I know. It's your swimming shorts.
It is. They're slightly damp frock because I've just been swimming, and my penis has been right in there where you've touched, and my bum has been there, and you've just touched it, and they haven't been washed in between. They smell like, they smell of chlorine, you know, the chlorine or the chlorophyll, whatever it is. Let's see what else is in here. A couple more things.
Okay, this is a can I rip it?
Yeah, well, you can do if you want. We might
a
give this
CD
away.
CD case of one of your stupid shows.
It is a DVD of... Oh, what's this dude in here? Richard Herring's 10. Oh,
do you know how I knew
you can
that?
Get that from gofasterstrike.com. Yeah, it's my best of DVD. We'll give that away to anyone who emails in this week. The first person to email in gets a free DVD. Say, I want a free copy of 10 by Richard Herring.
So obvious.
And what's that?
This is a happy sack ball.
It is my one of my balls.
I am so good at guessing. I've got them all.
You pushed it under the table. I'm going to do. Look, we're being filmed. It's my juggling ball, and I can. Because we're doing something so visual anyway on the radio, I thought I'd do something else visual. Oh no, where's it on there?
I know what this is as well.
Look, this. What else is in there?
Go on, do that first.
Look at that. I'm juggling on the radio.
Tragic.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely tragic. The people that can juggle.
I'm amazing at juggling.
Okay, this.
What else have you got? Is there something else in there?
Yeah.
I forgot what else.
Teeth. Ah. That you put in your mouth. You put in your
it is, yeah.
Mouth.
Well, they've never been in anyone's mouth.
I won what's in the bag.
Well, I'm a Dracula. I'm a Dracula.
You're a tragic man.
I'm a Dracula. I'm a Dracula. I'm a juggling Dracula.
I need to wash my hands.
Good. Well, that was fun. That was much better than lose what's in the bag.
Yeah,
so,
but I guess them all. So
you can't win my juggling balls because, you know, those are very important to me. My parents have bought me these for Christmas because they know me very well.
Really?
I can do it one-handed. Oh, shit.
Any excuse to show off.
So you can win the DVD and the Dracula teeth.
And the swimming shorts.
No, not the swimming shorts because I need those. And, yeah, I don't want perverts touching them going, oh, that's where Richard Herring... Like you
too
were.
Late.
Going, oh, look, that's where Richard Herring's bollocks have just been gently rubbing against
but
there.
As if I use your full name.
You've touched something. It's like dancing with the girl who's danced with the girl who's danced with the Prince of Wales. You've touched the netting. That's the kind of thing. That's what Alan Partridge talks about, isn't it? The little netting within running shorts and stuff. It's holding up quite well. They're quite nice, quite good shorts. Mm. So anyway, that was fun, wasn't it? And that was much more enjoyable that way around. I prefer to give than to receive, as it seems. Let's play a record. fittingly, this is Nancy Boy by Placebo. It's almost like someone's chosen this on purpose, knowing that I was going to Nancy Boy. I don't know if I approve of that. Have you ever been to Cheddar Gorge?
No, but
you must go.
Now.
It's nestling in the Amendip Hills, near the Bristol and Bath. If you're in the area, you can buy a ticket to go to everything. I think that's the only thing you can do now. There's some wonderful things there. If you want me to come and private guide for you, I'm happy to do that
so
as well.
I'm so bored.
Shut up.
Bloody hell, Richard, we're back on the air again.
We are. Blimmin' it, Tucker.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
That's before your time as well, isn't it? Blimmin' it, Tucker. Flippin' it, Tucker. That's from old Grange Hill. I was looking up Pogo Patterson the other day. Do you remember Pogo Patterson before your time? I just juggled during this whole link. Oh, no, it's gone wrong. He works in props now, Pogo Patterson, if you're interested.
Oh, good old Pogo.
He did, interestingly, I looked at his IMDb page, mm-hmm. the internet database.
Tell me more.
And he, as a child, he worked on the Sooty Show, and as an adult, he does the props on the Sooty Show. So, I don't know, he might be related to Sooty or Sweep or something.
Oh, yeah.
Pogo Patterson, he was called.
His cousin or something, is it, Pogo?
And Pogo Patterson's real first name was Douglas, I believe. But enough of that trivia. And I might be wrong with that. That's just from memory. Just any time. What have I been up to this week, Lou?
I don't care. What have you been up to?
Let's take you through a week of the week and the things that have been going on. I made love to a donut on Sunday.
Did you?
Yeah.
We've all done it.
You give it a go. It's a ring donut, and it's a tempting thing to do. It was for my show, Meaning
was
of Life.
Was it a mini donut?
It was no. It was a big. There was a. It looked a puckered by the end of it. I tell you.
Yeah. Did you actually do that?
Well, I didn't put anything into it. I was on stage, and I was. It was for a joke about the seven deadly sins, and I went through all the seven deadly sins in the space of 2 minutes, and one of them was to eat a donut, and then I had sex with a donut. On top of a donut. And we did it in the missionary position, which the crew was surprised about. They thought I would, go reverse cowboy or something. But but I did missionary, so I lay on top of a donut. And it was quite... Someone took it, and then they took a photo of it. And when it got home, it looked quite puckered and upset by the experience. And essentially, I didn't ask the donuts permission to do that. So, I mean, what? It is worst abuse. Frottage, I suppose, as worse it was.
Did you raffle off the donuts? Were lucky?
I didn't. Just a girl said, there was like a 13-year-old boy. No, I think it was 15-year-old boy in the front row with his mum.
Yeah.
Who I'd talked about. I didn't realise it was his mum when I said that, but I'd talked about ejaculating on her face. So I'm apologetic about that.
Very nice.
But then, because to make up for him, I gave it to this 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem to want it for some reason. So, but then a woman came out of the audience and said, "Can I take this?" And I said, yeah. And I didn't think about what she might want to do with it.
She was hungry.
Yeah. So, and I've also been, I've been very manly this week.
Oh.
Yesterday, we did chores yesterday. I had a day off because I've been working quite hard. And I constructed a bed and a garden table. And I really regret, I'm not very good even manually with my hands. And every time I make anything, you know, from the instructions, I always fuck it up, basically. But I could have paid £45 for the man who delivered it to put it together. And I thought, well, that's a lot of money. I'm not going to pay that. I can put a bed together. And then when I got out, you know, I thought it would be like a bed, just screw a couple of things together. But it was like 20 pieces of wood.
How long did it take you?
Took us a couple of hours. I did it with my wife, though. I mean, it was mainly me.
So £20 an hour, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite good.
You should have done it, really.
That's all right. When I looked at it, I thought we're not even going to be able to do this. And I was really regretting it. And I thought, we'll spend all day doing it and we won't get to do it. But then the sense of achievement I got.
I know, isn't it?
It was amazing. And it looks pretty good. Yeah. I'll show you a photo later of the bed I made.
Why do you think I do this show?
Because I've made beds before. I thought I had, because I've had three beds before. I've like had
a three bed life.
Yeah, in the house I had a bed from IKEA and I put that together. But then I realised Al Murray came round with his first wife and put that together. And then when I moved house, I bought another bed and had the other bed downstairs. And then I thought I'd put that together. Then I raised Al Murray and his second wife helped me put that one together.
Yeah.
And then when I got married, I bought another bed so that, you know, my wife wouldn't feel that she was sleeping in the bed that I'd made love with a lot of other women in it. Yeah,
swimwear models, no doubt.
Yeah, so we got another bed, and also we had another room to put a bed in. So I made that one, but then I realised Al Murray would come around and help me put that one together. So this was the first bed I've ever made
without
Al Murray and one of his many wives.
I think I don't get a new bed because it means Al Murray will get divorced again.
Well, luckily he's not married at the moment, so we can't. I'll wait till he gets married and then I'll ask him to come around and put a bed together with the next one. So that was exciting. And also I had fun in in the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the post office. I got like a Dyson. I foolishly bought this Dyson heater. It's a heater and a fan.
Right.
It's quite expensive. It's meant to warm up a room, but also it's meant to, if it's warm, it makes the room cold. It doesn't really work as well as I was hoping. But then they got in touch to say there was a fault with some of them that it might cause a small fire.
Yeah.
So I had to take that back to the... I think they should have come round and taken it personally, rather than me having to lug it to the fucking post office. Then,
poor little dicky jacking up. Heater fan behind
you. Yeah, massive. But it actually was very light. I was actually worried as I was carrying the box to the post office that I'd forgotten to put the. This feels like an empty box. Anyway, I got to the post office and there was. It was all right, but there's quite a long queue, which often is because, you know, the post office don't employ enough people but enjoy taking our money. And we didn't pay enough. You know, we got ripped off, didn't we, as well, with the shares. They'd stolen like half a billion pounds of us. But then a man came in, an old alcoholic man, I would guess, from his puckered face and his shouting and the fact that he wanted to go to the pub and wanted his money. And he just came in, oh, fucking hell, look at what's going on with this country. Look at this queue. So he was just shouting and everyone was sort of bristling but sort of slightly laughing. Then he started saying, why are we waiting? And then he sang, out of nowhere, he sang Humpty Dumpty Sat on the Wall, which was kind of odd. But then he changed the last line to something like, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't be bothered to
serve me
at the post office. It didn't even rhyme. And then he was going, what's going on? Why haven't you got enough staff on? And then he's going, I need a piss.
Oh, no.
Where can I go? I want the toilet. And then that made them, they were all just behind their little glass screen, not worrying about it. And we were all kind of thinking, this guy could stab us in the face with a knitting needle at any second. But then when he started saying he might piss on the floor, I moved my Dyson. I thought he might do it.
Yeah,
so I moved my, I thought Ian Dyson, who runs the Dyson company, probably wouldn't repair my Dyson if it had old man's alcoholic wee on it. So I moved it away from him.
Nothing in the small print to say that.
And then so a man did come out. He said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to shit. And he said, I'm going to shit myself. Oh, I'm going to shit.
Then he went, I'm mistakes.
he said, too late. I've done it.
No. And then,
But he hadn't. But everyone was like going, not sure. But it also had, that possibility that it might happen as well. Yeah. So there was a danger. Then he wanted a glass of water. So it was quite scary, but it was quite funny as well.
It's one way of getting attention. Sir.
It is. Well, he certainly was. I think, within a couple of years, this could be you. This is your... It might be a better way... It might be a better way for you to seek attention just to go and post office.
It is chiming with some similarities from last night.
What have you been doing in your life?
Well, just developing spiritually and emotionally, I guess we're all on a journey, though. What have I been... I didn't go to a party.
Yeah.
Imagine if I had gone. Actually, I called up my stepdad because I was meant to go to a party on Saturday, but I was building furniture too, and I thought that was more important.
Oh, yeah, it was good. We've been building furniture.
And when I say building furniture, I kind of mean making my flatmate do it. But anyway, so I was meant to, I'm a feminist, but these were really, really hard.
How's it going with the flatmate?
Fine. Absolutely
okay.
Fine.
All right, good.
Fine. I'll tell you off air. And
is she already has?
So I was supposed to go to this party.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I phoned my mum. She wasn't in. Spoke to my stepdad, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm building furniture. Then I'm going to go to a party." And he went, "Oh, someone's invited you to a party." Well, that is lovely. Dave, I go to parties. I go to parties all the time. What are you talking about? And he's, that is lovely. As if I'd never been invited.
That's probably because he's just, when you get older, the people don't invite you. When you're young and beautiful, people invite you. I was invited to all sorts of parties when I was young and beautiful. And now no one invites you because they don't want some old man lunking around
talking
in the corner.
About it being in the post office and some shitting themselves.
Some shitting themselves and building his own bed and feeling like a man.
He's bonkers. Oh, yeah, here's the other thing. He said, we went to see him. Play last night. They had professional actors down from London as opposed to just some idiots they sourced. And he said, and I said, what play do you want to go see? He said, it's a Shakespeare play, I mean. He said, it's called Much Ado About Nothing. I'm familiar with that. I've heard it. Absolutely bonkers, that man.
Yeah. Do you feel with when I'm putting together the furniture from the shops when you have to put it together? Mm. This is the first time I think I've ever made anything that I haven't got something upside down at some point because it's very hard. And then you get something upside down and it screws the whole thing up.
And with this
bed, with the one mistake we nearly made, we saw at the last minute. I was just about to glue two things together because there was glue involved, which made it more terrifying. And then I realised, that is actually the wrong way. That we're putting that in the wrong place. So, but I managed to put this together. I think we'll see when we've got a child coming. It's like a single bed, and my wife's friend's coming around with her small child. Yeah. So I haven't tested the bed yet. We'll let the kid test. If it falls apart and splinters, and she's pierced by lots of bits of broken wood.
Then the risks you take.
It is, and it's better. It's someone young rather than someone who's got something to give to the world. So it's better, and also if it saves that child, then. It's more annoying if someone lives into their 50s or 60s and all the money you've expended on keeping them alive. It's better for them to die earlier, save the money.
You can just start again from scratch and you've learnt some lessons along the way.
Have sex a second time.
Oh my God, I was looking for the right plug, for about a day. That wasted a whole day of my life. It's so boring. I tell you what. I've also been...
Don't you say it's boring. That is up to the listeners to decide whether what we're saying is interesting or not.
I'm crediting them with a bit of intelligence. I'll tell you what I have been up to. I went on the dark internet.
The dark internet?
You heard of it. It's the underground internet. You cannot get traced on it. It was very hard for them to trace you. Unless they know you've been on it.
So why would you go on there? Because you're looking at child pornography? That's
well,
the only
no,
reason
a lot of nonsense do go on. And that is the dark side of the dark internet. But I did
the dark,
not go
dark
on that
internet.
Side. I was just trying to get some mushrooms.
Oh, okay. They sell them at Tesco's. I'll get some on the way home.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Do you want the one? Do you want the big ones or the
I
little
want the
clothes?
Magic ones?
Okay, the magic ones. I can get you a magic marker. That's about the only magic thing I've got. Anyway, let's move on to another song from SL2. Is that a real thing?
I'll SL you in a minute.
On a rag a tip. Do you know what this is?
Yeah, I think so. Put it on.
It sounds, well, this is it. Oh. It sounds sounds like some of the modern music to me. I'm
I
not sure.
I didn't remember it silent. Oh, I haven't got earphones on.
You've got to put your headphones on, yeah. It's very simple. Your earphones, as Lou calls them. So she's a professional broadcaster.
Oh, it's this song. Yeah. From yesteryear.
Here we go.
Giving radio the finger.
Ooh. That was fun. During that, Lou was doing an impression similar to a Japanese and Chinese impression from last week, if you're listening to that. So I think more offensive than last week's impressions. I apologise to any listeners who are upset by that, but none of them have come in. What have you got? What are you doing there?
Just ruffling around my mouth.
Okay, well, do that in your own time. We're on Fubar's time here. So this week's email in. Got my
Stop
things
shift,
here. Got my things
them.
Here. I'm being like a proper newsreader. Because it was this is Lou's idea because it was National Siblings Day last week.
Something like that. My family didn't contact me.
That's good enough for us. So we're asking you to send in, and you can do this if you're listening now. Email in at herring@fubarradio.com. We'll read them out next week, or so 2 weeks time. We're asking about funny stories involving your siblings. What terrible atrocities they've committed?
Yes.
Arguments you've had?
Yes.
I was the youngest of three. My sister kind of really wanted me to exist. So I think I owe my life to my sister, not in a normal Somerset way, but she badgered my mum and dad until they had. Because my brother's 6 years older than me, and my sister's 5 years older than me. So I'm kind of like an afterthought. But I think actually the only planned child. But my brother, being quite a bit older than me, meant he bullied me quite a lot.
Sure, and you're also really annoying.
I am quite annoying. And I was, I was the cheeky little baby of the family, and I got away with murder, which, I still do, really. My favourite memory, though, of that is him, he used to beat me up quite a lot. That's not my favourite memory. But once he was running after me to try and get me. Or I was running after him, maybe. No, I was running after him, and he slammed the door near to my face. But it didn't hit me, but I pretended it did hit me, and I went down. So I went down, and then I went and just like pretended I was dead. And he came back, and he's going, Richard, you're not, God, no, please be all right. I'll do anything if you're all right. And that was the moment I realised I had power over him. So I started, pretended to be dead for ages. Yeah. And then it sort of flickered back to life and went, because I realised that then he was actually, he was scared. Of killing me.
Yeah.
And that he actually did love me, or was scared. Now he was scared of being in trouble.
I used to pretend to be dead to my little... I mean, how desperate is this? My little brother, who was like 7 years younger than me, and like when he was only about four, and I used to pretend to be dead to worry him just to see. It's so dark, though, just to see if anyone loved me. Loads of people did that, I bet.
Yeah. Okay, here are some that have come in from people at home. Graham. Says, my brother was 10 years older than me. My name is Graham. For many years, he called me Gherkin. He knew I found this deeply upsetting. I was 6 years old. He wouldn't stop. I sought solace in one of the many comics I used to read each week. A few pages in, I found he'd drawn a sort of wrinkled cylinder with wings in the sky of a panel that had a bit of space. Graham the Flying Gherkin, it was labelled. My brother was an art student, so it looked quite good. Yeah. Oh, that's nasty, isn't it? What have you got there?
You have to pretend you don't care. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you do, but you
it's
do
too
care.
Late now,
you do care when you're a kid, yeah.
Hi, Richard. This is from Kit Pates. Mine is slightly embarrassing. To get my sister in trouble, I'd pretend she was hitting me, similar to yours. I would hit and slap myself while crying, Mom, Laura's hitting me, with ow, ow, get off noises. I'd like to think it was akin to Edward Norton beating himself up in front of his boss in Fight Club, but it was more of a fat 10-year-old boy slapping himself. And it worked quite well until my mum walked into the room one day and found my puzzled sister standing there and me hitting myself and shouting in pain. Oh. And she still calls me the BBC sound effects department.
Cool, clever. My brother once put chilli on my pasta without telling me, says Imogen in Cambridge, then made me dip broccoli in chocolate mousse, and while I was eating it, I had to rub my stomach and tell him how delicious it was. I was age seven. My sister used to make me watch Neighbours with her every day when she got home from school. Not sure which was the more traumatic. Bang! Taking Neighbours down.
My brother and his friends put loads of laxatives in my drink.
Yeah.
I was fine, though.
You're like Rasputin.
Yeah.
Because they put loads of poison in his cakes and his wine and he drank them and he was fine. So maybe you're indestructible like Rasputin.
I think I must be.
Don't want to bring it all down. I want to save for Alex Zane for the main Rasputin conversation. Obviously, that's what we'll be doing. Have you got another one?
No, you read one.
Okay. This is Kip Hakes. Mm-hmm. You've got
Again?
One from Kip Hakes.
Hang on, I've just read Kip Hakes. Give it a rest, Kip.
Put them up twice. This is more like it. John Kinsey. This we definitely haven't had this one. Hi, my brother once did a massive shit in the bath. I went in.
Strong, I think.
This isn't even anything to do with what we asked for. This is just apropos of nothing. I went in after him and mistaking it for... This is good. I went in after him and mistaking it for a sponge, got a good handful. On another occasion, I came home from Cubs to find a yellow M&M on the arm of the sofa. It was only after I ate it that my mother decided to tell me about how early that evening she had to fish it out of his...
His what?
Anus. Oh.
Why?
So he put, he'd been putting M&Ms up his own bum.
You just leave it there until it actually fell
Why
down.
Would his mum leave it there on the arm of the sofa as well? I don't. John Kinsey. John Kinsey has eaten a M&M that has been in his brother's anus. And I think we all have. We all have done that. Shall we do a take a book?
Yeah.
We'll save some of these up for later, yeah, just in case, you know, we run out of conversation, which is always a possibility. look, that's
take
the,
a book.
Oh, hang
is
on,
it? What is it? A sexy one or?
Is this me?
Yeah. Are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
Which was it? Sexy or is it?
No, it's carrying on from the horror genre.
Okay,
from
we'll
last
go.
Week.
We'll go into horror.
And I've got another one as well. Hang on.
Okay, well, we'll do them both this time. Okay. We've got
this
plenty
one's quite
of time.
Long, and then I've got a short one. Okay.
I'll do some emails.
So, if you bloody won't, you listen in, you learn something. If you recognise the first two lines, that's because it's from last week, but then I continued it.
Okay.
Because it was uproar, everyone was like, what happened? Nobody said that. Okay. Rob liked his women how he liked his boy bands. His favourite was damaged. Maybe he wanted to fix them, he thought to himself, as making a pair of tits out of his noodles. But would another woman really make him happy? Would a sad woman really make him happy? That's the question. I mean, there was no love song which said, I'm looking for a sad woman to make me happy. Mind you, there was no love song that said, I don't really love you, but I'm too scared of being alone and never finding anyone more suitable based on my personality and looks. Until now. He grabbed a pen and started writing his song furiously. Furious, mainly because he remembered he had no songwriting skills whatsoever. 3 p.m. came and went, and all he had was, ooh, baby, baby, ooh, baby. So much of his personality was based on Karen Carpenter. He couldn't escape her catchy melodies and haunting lyrics. Blast, he thought with his eyes. I know, I'll get a dog. Then he remembered they already had a dog and they did not get on. He needed a new direction, not the boy band this time. Thank you. What would make him happy? A cheesecake, certainly. But a cheesecake wouldn't last forever. Mind you, women have sell-by dates. He laughed at a sexist joke. He didn't like broken biscuits or CD cases. Why did he like broken women? Maybe he was broken. So he went off to see a psychologist on the number 43 bus. Cut a long story short, wouldn't you know it, she diagnosed him as a psychopath. Wait, he said. Is that why I'm indifferent to my dog? I love to win at board games and I once killed my brother? Yep, said the sassy psychiatrist. You got it in one. Or three. She wasn't without humour, this quackhead. Well, who's going to... Stop shaking your head.
Enjoy it. What's happening.
Well, who's going to want to go out with a...
Have I died? Am I dead?
Well, who's going to want to go out with a psychopath? Rob mumbled grumpily. The psychologist laughed. Oh, loads of women. Here are some files of some women who only like going out with psychopaths. Rob was encouraged by her complete flouting of the rules and commitment to getting him a chick. And then I cut to page 98 in my book. Because not a lot cut happens in the other pages.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's not written. Also, I try really hard on every sort of even page and then odd page just so it takes takes some time off.
Before you crack on, I just... last night at the... just for some reason, this has come into my head. The word gibberish comes from a 9th century chemist called Jahib or something. He's called Jahib, something like that. And his name... He used to spout loads of rubbish about chemistry. I don't know why that's come to mind.
Well,
carry on with the rest of it.
They all laughed at the lady that wrote Harry Potter, didn't they? Rob's going. Anyway, cut to page 98. Okay. Rob's going out with this chick who loves psychopaths, Sally. Her name's Sally, and they're doing the whole small talk thing in the kitchen. And Sally gets a bread knife and kills him. It was all a setup with the psychologist. The two business ladies are killing psychos to make the world a better place. They call themselves Sisters of No Mercy because, and this is a nice bit of serendipity,
yep,
they both love the band Sisters of Mercy. Now, just like to say that any similarities between like the main guy, Rob,
yeah,
and Rob Ford, just a coincidence.
Okay.
Although they do have the same rugby top, make what you will of that. Okay, now my next story.
I think we'll save the next story.
No, it's a lot shorter, it's just one line.
Okay, do you need horror or sexy?
Sexy, please.
Okay, hold on, let's turn that off.
Although it is neat, though, it's on a genre of its own.
Number 17 is the sexy bed.
Okay. Gemma had to give up bread. It was all she ate. But why should she conform to these new diets and slim down? I mean, for heaven's sake, she was a mallard duck!
I think we'll find out what James are up to, what they've got to say for themselves. This is Laid by James.
Oh, I love
She was a mallard duck. That was the twist. It was good. Well, yeah, they eat a lot of bread, so but it's carbohydrates.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Lou's gone to the loo. It's for the best, I think, really. She'll never hear what I've got to say about her here. Now, I think she genuinely has lost something in her brain that makes her unable to function in a modern society. So I hope you enjoyed her story. She'll be back any second, and this isn't playing into the toilets, I don't think. Hope she'll come back with a new Marion's motto, but you never know. So I've got some more stuff from people with their sibling stories, which is what we're looking for this time. You can email me at herring1967 or, oh, someone's come back.
Hey.
All right, just in your own time, anytime. herring@foobarradio.com.
Lulu.com.
Sanders, you can get her on there. Aaron Gilbert says, the only time I ever got the better of my older brother, 4 years, was when I slammed his nose onto my knee. Revenge is sweet. That one's just fairly... this is quite good. Chris Askew.
Mm-hmm.
I'd ask you, but I don't know you. He says, I scratched my brother's initials into the banister at the top of the stairs. That is clever.
Yeah, that is clever.
But then he gets into trouble. That's nice. Dan Brown says, I spent the last 20 years calling my sister Poo Slice. It might be Poo Slice.
Just gone in with a
Poo Slice. Still think it's funny. My sister, not so much. Gav says, I managed to convince my little sister that my parents got her by collecting tokens from packs of Frosties and sending off for her. That is good.
Good.
Sean Barfoot, my sister used to blow a hairdryer in my ear when I was a sleeping babe. Evil. That is quite evil.
Mm.
What did you do when you... What have you got stories of your siblings?
Nah,
I bet you were the nutty.
Tell me what the topic was for.
It was your idea.
Yeah, but you didn't agree it. You have to agree it. But, so I didn't think about it until...
Don't have to think about it now. What's the worst thing that happened with you? What have you got in terms of siblings?
Well, I tell you a nice story.
You can do. Let's know, just so we know. We can picture the...
I've got an older brother and a younger brother.
Yeah.
And the older brother...
You're in the middle. It's like you're my family. You're my sister in my family because she's got an old brother and a younger brother.
Yeah.
So I can identify with you now.
We should maybe go for a drink, me and her.
You should. You'd get on well. She likes crystals and stuff as well.
Does she?
Yeah, she's a fucking nut like you are. I mean, I think you're more nutty than she is, but I think you'll get on quite well.
Why are you such... I hate anal scientists. I've told you that before.
You do.
It's really hot in here. I'm feeling quite stuffed up.
That's just the chemistry. It's the sex. It's the will they won't. They have the already sexual chemistry that we
what,
have.
What, between me and Alex Zane?
Oh, it could be. He poked his little nose around the corner, didn't he? His little pretty little nose. He's disappeared off now. And the producer's very excited. She's a bit flushed. Her thumbs up for Alex Zane. You've got me here every week. You don't need Alex Zane. I'm more of a man than Alex Zane. Look at this. I can juggle. I'm going to give Alex Zane these juggle balls.
Make a fool of him.
Let's see how
make a
does.
Bloody fool of him.
He's going to look like a flicking idiot. So what, have you got a nice story about your family?
No, we went away to the end of the road once and we bought our sleeping bags, but we only went like four houses down and we thought we were so intrepid explorers.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then Tony from next door just sort of, come on then, and walked us back again. Aww. It was a real adventure.
I tried to run away from home. My mum let me go, but she was quite clever. She packed me a little bag, I think, and then... I like the whole thing of putting a thing over your shoulder, like Dick Whittington.
Yeah.
And she, I got like 10 yards down the road and she wasn't there, so I just came back again. But she must have been looking around the corner, right? She wouldn't have just let me go.
Off you go.
She had three kids. I think if you've got three, then the last one is genuinely a spare, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you expect, in the old days, you'd expect you'd have eight kids and four of them would die, five of them would die.
And she was hoping that would be
you. She was just thinking, I might as well get rid of that one. You said when you came up with this subject, you said something. Let me see if I can find it. No, I probably can't. I'll have a look later. You said there was something about the list of things you suggested. There was something odd. Maybe it was that. So I'll do a... before we go... We're nearly done an hour, Lou. It's unbelievable. It's flown by. I mean, it's an hour of utter shit.
I'm starting to feel quite sick.
Are you? I'm going to do Dickie's Diary just because, you know, get one in. Might do
go
another
on
one later. Here's
go
the...
on. Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary?
It's much better when you can get them both at the same time. So this is generally happened quite recently. I've been on tour. There's a few more tour dates to go. Go to richtown.com/gigs to check out where they are. I'm doing London on the 22nd, 23rd of May, I think
I've
it is.
I've heard of it.
The Bloomsbury Theatre. But I've made it nearly all the way through my latest tour, We're All Going to Die, with just eight gigs to go. Some might think it's fatalistic to do a show that laughs in Death Skellington's face. That is Skellington, that's the correct way of saying it. I've seen all of the Final Destination films and they suggest the Grim Reaper does not like to be cheated or mocked, and so I secretly feared him sneaking up and fingering me. I know that sounds like fun, Lou, but his digits are bony and icy. His technique is very clumsy. Every time he touches someone, they immediately die. And even death isn't so ungallant to go straight for the genitals. It's tits first, he's a gent. Because he kills them straight away, doesn't he? God,
yeah,
that's a problem.
If you liked
petting, that's it for death. So he's got to go straight in for it. I confidently predict that I'll get through this tour unscathed and furthermore proclaim that I will never die. I don't know the meaning of the word hubris, which is the same as tomorrow I'm taking part in a define the meaning of the word hubris competition. I'm not worried. I think I'm definitely going to win anyway. That's a very good joke, Lou, that has gone above your head.
I don't know what hubris means.
I know, that's why I said it's gone above your head. It's quite hubristic to do a joke that relies on people knowing the definition of quite an obscure word. But it means hubris, it's arrogant pride. It's like pride before a fall. So the joke there, just to explain it to you, Lou,
is,
I don't know the meaning of the word hubris, but I'm taking part in a define the word and meaning hubris
that's
competition.
Really good. If I knew
I don't
the
care,
word.
I think I'm definitely going to win anyway. That's
but
a very clever joke.
You'll need a new audience.
I sometimes
work.
Used to open that. With
you're not
that.
Robin Ince.
I sometimes used to open with that joke and
how'd it go?
Not very well.
Exactly.
I think it's one of the best jokes I've ever come up with.
Your audience is teenage girls.
That is mainly my
and
audience.
Gay guys.
That's mainly what I've got. Some people think you shouldn't tempt fate, but they're living under the arrogant presumption that if fate existed, which it doesn't, it would give a flying fuck about something so insignificant as them. Do you really think you can change the course of the universe merely by uttering some banality like nothing can possibly go wrong? Are death, fate and deities really as petty to stop what they're doing in order to teach non-entities like us a lesson? I'm the all-powerful creator of the universe, but I just heard the talking monkey taking my name in vain. I'm going to stop everything I'm doing and punish them. It's not going to happen. Occasionally, after making comments like that, I will get an email from a concerned Christian. They always quote the same biblical passage. I don't know if there's a template complaint letter at the back of every Bible. It comes from Galatians 6:7. Actually, that's not even in the Bible. That's a 1980s video game, so surely that has no moral authority. In any case, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man shall sow, that shall he also reap. If I reap what I sow, won't God just take the piss out of me when I'm back, when I'm dead? I'll be flattered that he even knew I was." Last week I was in Shrewsbury. I wondered if there might be something in it. Just as I said, unless you believe in the afterlife, in which case, grow up. The theatre plunged into darkness. The electricity had tripped out. I was a bit shaken, but given all the weapons God has to hand, this seemed a petty attempt at divine retribution. It wasn't the usual plague-based vengeance we're used to getting from him. I also knew there was something properly blasphemous coming up in the show, so why had God shot his bolt so early? Then, as I described something too religiously delicate for the FUBAR radio, and it's not actually, I talk about bumming God.
Yeah.
I say that I believe, because some people say whatever you believe is going to happen is what's going to happen after you die. So Christians go to Christian heaven, Muslims go to Muslim heaven, whatever you believe.
Right.
And what I believe is I'm going to spend the rest of eternity in a palace made of gold bumming God.
Right.
So if you believe it, it's got to come true.
Yeah.
But as soon as I said that, with perfect comic timing, the electricity failed again. It was an eerie coincidence, or not, depending on your point of view.
Mm.
I challenged God to make the lighting rig fall on me and gingerly stood beneath it. But God decided he made his point and disappeared off to orchestrate an earthquake or flood or invent a new virus. He's got his hands full. He can't be everywhere at once. I guess this at least proves that if there is a God, then he has a sense of humour, which is good, even if part of his hilarious joke is to see me burning in hell for all eternity. No one said his jokes aren't dark. Just ask Job. Do you know who Job is?
No, it's another reference that's gone over my head.
He's in the Bible, Job really believes in God, and then the devil and God kind of get together. I think it's before Satan's fallen. He tries to get Job to not believe in God by sending loads of pestilence. Or does God do it? I can't remember. We'll have to look it up. I'll read out the biblical passage in the next part of the show. So, look, we've got a very exciting rest of the show coming up. We're going to have more things that annoying and funny things that your siblings did. If you've got them at home, do send them in to herring@foobarradio.com is the best way to email in.
Honey.
If you're listening at home.
Joining in.
What was that? What race was that an impression of? In Lou Sanders around the world. Okay. Is it good for you?
I've learnt my lesson.
Okay. And we have also, very excitingly, the most famous person we've ever had on FUBAR Radio. You should see the other shit, though, Alex. It's nothing. It really is nothing.
Oh,
it's nothing to be proud of.
We nearly got someone's kid in the other day just because they were knocking about the studio.
It's Alex Zane. We'll see if he's as zany as his name suggests.
Don't point at me as if that's a good thing you just said, you bloody idiot.
We're going to take the next hour very, very soon. We're going to take.
Yeah, go on. We'll see if he's Alex Kaner much.
That doesn't make sense.
It does.
I don't think it's even his real name. So we'll find out. We're going to find that out. That's going to be one of the first things we'll find out in the next half.
Plus, so much more.
There's loads more to come. Anyway, we've had fun so far. Let's listen to REM, Losing My Religion. That is quite apt after what. After, I should have just gone straight into that. We shouldn't have done any of this
but then
shit.
We would have missed out on that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of not live radio that we're doing as if it was live. Hope you keep listening.
Please keep listening.
It'll be good. Alex Zane's coming on.
Don't go.
Otherwise, it's just me and Lou, and she might touch me inappropriately. It's the kind of thing she would do.
Dream on.
FUBAR. Radio worth paying for.
Yeah, a REM there, like them. They're a good band, the REM band. I'm Richard Herring, I'm with Lou Sanders. And here is our guest, Alex Zane.
The most famous person you've ever had on the show.
If that is your real name.
It feels like my real name now. Yeah, why not?
I mean, not according to Wikipedia, it's not.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Why are people fascinate over this? Let's just say it's my real name because the real story is just dull.
Okay,
dull.
We're going to go to
Johnny.
He is best known, and this is what makes him the most famous person we've had, for his small acting role in Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
That's right, I played weirdly. Right, so Johnny Vaughan's in it as well. Right. And Johnny Vaughan just gets to play Johnny Vaughan in it. But in the credits, despite the fact no one refers to me by my character's name, I'm called Dan van der Hoek, a Dutch TV presenter, which is upsetting because it isn't even a funny name. There's nothing I can do with that.
Were you doing a Dutch accent? I didn't catch this. I saw Deuce Bigalow, American Gigolo. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Were you doing a Dutch accent in the...
I wasn't, no. But I did get to say, welcome to the 76th annual Golden Boner Awards.
Wow.
Which was
that's
a celebration.
That's a dream job. Isn't it?
It is good.
It was interesting. I got to meet Rob Schneider, who I was like, hey, you know Rob Schneider, obviously. He did, what was it called? Knock Off with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I quite liked that film. So I said to him, hey, what was it like working with Jean-Claude Van Damme on that picture? And he went, it's really fascinating working with someone who's clearly on so much cocaine.
Whoa. Which I love it when they just say that.
Dude, that's why it doesn't work. That's why he's not working anymore. That's why that guy's not working.
Well, no, he's been swallowed up by the Sandler family. You don't sort of miss Rob Schneider's sort of own movies, but Kevin James, I thought, was really good, and now he's just making like Sandler knockoffs.
You love movies, right? You're always going to the movies, it seems.
I'm quite upset. I'm actually quite obsessed with Adam Sandler films because I hate them, nearly all of them. But there was a brilliant thing about when he did Jack and Jill, which is worth watching because it's the most Terrible film. I mean, it's just terrible.
But it's erotic,
but
right?
Then there was a Google it. There's a brilliant. I might Google it for myself in a second. There's a brilliant takedown of Jack and Jill online, which goes on for about 45 minutes, explaining all the product placement, all the.
Whoa.
Basically, these guys just get paid loads of money to put their mate. You know, they get someone in for a day's film and go, yeah, it's coming in for $1 million. Rob Schneider, basically.
I'd actually say in the list of things wrong with Jack and Jill, product placement's quite far down. There are far bigger problems with that movie than going, hey, that's an Apple computer.
He's a funny guy, though, I think, Adam Sandler, but he just seemed to take his foot off the gas, I would say, and go for the money.
No comment.
Why? No. Just in case you end up working with him.
I wanted just to come in and really dramatically say that. No comment meaning, I want to be in Jack and Jill too.
No, it could happen. You could be Jill. I think the film would be better if they met as Adam Sandler as Zach and you as Jill. Okay. Then it would be...
You've got to accept, though, if you've seen Punch Drunk Love, I mean, the guy can be really good. Just chooses to not be. But then Grown Ups 2, like an appalling film, is one of the... made like millions at the box office in the US. So that doesn't matter.
It's the money...
Adam, if you're listening, I'll be Jill and Jack and Jill too.
He'll be upset because he plays Jill as well. The Razzies, they're called the anti-Oscars. He won worst actor and worst actress.
Amazing.
which is pretty good.
But he's sexy as Jill. I think that's the problem with the movie is that because he's so appealing as a woman, you forget to sort of laugh because you're sort of so in such an aroused state.
That's what problems with my gigs, actually.
Yeah.
Because everyone's so bloody aroused.
They are.
You can't laugh at me.
Their erections are covering their mouths.
It's choking from the inside out.
that's a famous gangster execution style to chop off a man's member and then leave it sticking out of his mouth.
That's
you seem
nasty.
To know a lot about crime, Alex.
That's why he's got a pseudonym. That's why he won't talk about it. His real name is very mafia.
The amount of members I've severed, God.
And actually, the last you hang around with all the movie stars. Last time I saw you, you were doing a gig and. Neve Campbell was in, and then she said, "Hello, I'm Nev." And I said, "No, well, I wanted to say, no, you're not. You're Neve.
You're Neve.
Mm-hmm. Your name's Neve. You don't even know your own name." She said, "No," but I let it go.
You're so affected by Hollywood.
So, do you still hang out with Neve Campbell?
I haven't seen her for a while. No, sorry. I want to give you.
I
some
thought you
gossip.
Were like good friends.
Yeah, we are. Were I don't know. I mean,
what did you do?
I called her Nev, and it's Neve. It really is Neve.
She really called herself Nev.
Just beneath.
I'm Nev, she said. You're not Nev. That's Nev's a man's name.
She liked a game of poker, didn't she? Did you play poker?
No, but I really want to learn.
I want to learn how to play.
You made that sound like you know how to play poker.
I know how to play poker. I'm very happy to play you two at poker right now. Let's get a pack of cards.
Right, listen. I play poker, but I'm not sure of all the rules. But the ones times I have played it, 5 times, I'm really good at winning it. But
the thing is with poker, Lou... Not to just ignore our guest Alex Zane to talk about the basics of poker.
This is great, this is education.
But early on, if you play against newbies, they often win because they'll just take stupid risks that you wouldn't do if you understand the game, and they will pay off sometimes. And also, you can't read them, so you're playing. You're playing someone. You think, well, they can't possibly.
So, Alex, what else have you been up to?
They can't possibly have hit a pair there because why would they be? Why would they hold in this long? And then they hit something ridiculous at the end. So it's actually harder for an experienced poker player to play someone new. But ultimately, you'll beat them.
How long have you been playing poker?
I've played poker for a long time, but I nearly went. I thought about going semi-pro.
He only plays strip poker.
Uh-huh.
He only plays strip poker, and plays for children. So we don't want to
talk about it. It's a game where if you're going to play it properly, you need a lot of patience, and you need basically to sit back and wait for the right hand.
You need a lot of layers to
take. Is it a bit like Snap?
It's similar.
Right.
You use cards. That's the similarity.
It's
a very simple game, but it's two.
What's the most you've won?
I was in the celebrity thing on TV and I came 7th or 8th before I really knew what I was doing. I won about £800 for that. I think I've won more than that. I think there used to be one at Century where I think I won like over £1,000 by coming 2nd or 3rd.
There was that guy in the paper who's just got into trouble. He's being sued by various casinos because he found a flaw in the deck of cards and he's exploited it to win over $20 million or something like that.
Well, that's their fault, isn't it?
Well, but apparently you're not allowed, even if you spot a flaw, it's kind of like you've got to go, sorry, everyone, there's a flaw with these cards. You can't go, I don't think anyone else has noticed.
What else?
They don't like it at casinos if you start winning a lot, which is
and they look into it, don't they?
They do.
They hate it. I know this for a fact. They hate it if you rob them as
yes,
well.
Yes, they do. They don't like that.
I learned that in Ocean's 11.
Can you juggle, Alex?
Yep. Yeah, that's them.
Let's have a look and see if he's as good as cool as he. I thought I'd.
One of the greatest radio features.
It is
ever.
I'm going to do this with everyone. Damn, he can.
Oh, he can.
He can
that's
do everything.
You. That's you.
He's good looking. He's sexy.
Can I say? Can I
all
say
the girls,
one crafty thing that Alex did once, which was so funny.
Uh-oh.
Well, he did an Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I'm obsessed with." Boys, okay, so I said this on the...
Is that you saying it or Lou
no
saying
idea.
It?
No,
so is Alex saying he's obsessed with boys?
Because
going to break a lot of hearts.
I'm obsessed with boys who...
No, you are.
I said this on your podcast once in Edinburgh
when
Pappies were on. Do you remember?
Yeah. No.
And Ben, the good-looking one. Oh, they're all good-looking.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember you being on the podcast.
it was a booking error. I think he went to get Lou Conran.
Might be, maybe.
Anyway.
Go on, what did you say, Lou?
Make
this about yourself, Lou. It's an important thing.
No, it's not. It's about
you got Alex Zane here. What are you wasting poker?
Okay.
I'm happy
Alex
juggling.
Zane.
I'm happy
this
juggling.
This is to do with Ben from Pappies and then it's saying, actually, I can't be bothered now.
No, come on.
No,
you've
got to
tell the story.
No.
Do I come out of this badly, in which case, don't tell the story.
I'll tell it later, maybe.
I like that. No, that's creating suspense.
I apologise, listeners at home. You would want the end to that story. You're not going to get it. I'll play a record and we'll try and persuade Lou to open up. The mics are off now, Lou, so tell us all about...
I can see them.
I've just put them up, all down.
I can see them, you douche. Let's play a song.
We'll be back with more from Alex Zane and the potty mouth of Lou Sanders coming up after Air... Sexy boy. Really? Is that what we're playing now?
FUBAR!
That was Air with Sexy Boy, and I realised that I didn't really have the fader up very high all the way through that, but I think I did you a favour, to be honest. We had a very good chat, and there's no way we can replicate it. It was really good, and there was nothing to be worried about. That was a great chat, and Alex talked and answered the question. We can't go back. The people at home will never know what it was now. But...
I've got a dead foot, mate. Okay, I'm going to take over the interview now.
Are you?
Yes, I'm going to ask Alex Zane some questions.
Good.
Alex Zane from Pop World and other things. Alex Zane, I've got from, my headphones stuck in my ear.
The League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse he was in as well.
I was.
Ooh,
that's properly good.
Tell us more.
I played, I was in it less than I was in Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I was in a scene involving a feast and I stood at the back and I ate a grape in the scene.
That's some kind of feast. A feast of one grape.
You know he doesn't like eating in front of people. It's really difficult for him.
He was also a team captain on birdwatching show Bill Bailey's Birdwatching Bonanza, as you should just know off the top of your head like I do, from Sky One.
Dickie.
Additionally, he also does the voiceover for Channel 4 show Ultimate Travel. A citation need. I'm sorry.
Dickie. I think I'll take it from me.
Okay.
Alex Zane.
Yes.
You know how you love
good because she does what she does.
Oh,
is she says your name like a proper interviewer. That's why she's so good. I'm going to sit back and watch this. This is like being in a room with Parkinson. Like the love child of Parkinson.
I'm standing up for this, but only because I've got a dead foot.
Right.
Not because
just
you're
a Parkinson.
Shall I stand as well?
No, please.
All right.
I saw Jared Christmas next
shut
door,
your
and they do their whole
up.
Show standing up, walking around and stuff. It's very, like,
you,
really exciting. Not like us.
Why don't you shut your face? Now, Alex Zane.
Hello.
Explain.
Oh.
You.
That's a good name for a show. Alex Zane Explains.
Thank you.
ITV2.
Explain yourself. No, explain. You love the movies, right? We know this. Love talking about them, watching them, all of the stuff. Why aren't you in more of the movies?
There's in loads of movies.
I forgot to read your bio.
He was in Dawn of the Dead 2004 and Land of the Dead.
It's kind of weird because you've got Wikipedia open and you're asking questions that would have benefited from looking at Wikipedia.
Just simply looking at Wikipedia.
We ain't called him. We're putting up furniture. We're trying to find a plug for the bath that's the right size. It's taking a day or two. I've been on the dark internet trying to get mushrooms. I mean...
At school, you were something of a geek, I understand. A studious man who carried his books around in a briefcase.
Which was a source of constant
amusement to school bullies. I actually had a briefcase as well.
But were you the only kid in school to have a briefcase?
I think more or less. And my dad was the headmaster of the school as well. So I was. It's like I was. I mean, I played the trumpets. I had a trumpet case. then a euphonium I play, which is even more banned. So I say I was like a buckaroo of bullying.
I don't know. How would you manage to carry all three cases to school on the
same
day?
Well, I didn't. I was never trumpet and euphonium, but if it was sports day and briefcase and euphonium, you know, it would have to be on.
Was you an ugly geek? That's the questions people want to know.
No way was he ugly. Look at him.
I mean, I was. I looked like myself now, but younger and smaller and thinner. I was a sickly looking child.
Yeah, I'm just picturing it here, sickly.
He's acted in six things.
Go on.
According to IMDb. That's not Balls of Steel. That's not a TV movie.
But did you never see Balls of Steel, movie? Oh. It was a TV movie based on the comedy show Balls of Steel.
Almost famous TV movie.
Yeah, that's right.
I really like Balls of Steel. You narrated Princess Nikki.
Have you ever had an interview as good as this? Which is just two people just talking and you and not listening to anything you're saying. Don't shut up, Alex. We're asking the questions. You shut up.
If anything,
it's Lou's turn to talk.
It's nostalgia, if nothing else. Going, I did do that. No, I did voice Princess Nikki.
You did Princess Nikki. You voiced Princess.
I did voice that.
And how did it go with your voice?
It went well. There were certain days where I have quite a sinus problems. I've got quite a nasal voice. So there were days where they were like, "Can you blow your nose?" And I did. Right. And then it went well again.
Sure. And did you meet Princess Nikki?
Yes. I did, but on a separate occasion. I actually met her at the Boogaloo Pub in Highgate. On a night that turned out to be her birthday, and I didn't realise that I'd gone into what was her birthday, and she went, "Hello, lovely to see you here." And I went, "Oh, I didn't know you drank here." And she went, "It's my birthday," and it was quite awkward.
Okay, Richard, anyway.
Who said this, Alex? If it looks like it, smells like it, and tastes like it, then just walk away. Who said that?
I thought you were going to say, it must be Alex Zane.
Is it me?
Yeah, it was you.
Did I?
You were giving advice to viewers after your report into heroin from Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
It says Afghanistan.
This is brilliant. Are you reading?
This is your personal quote from the IMDb.com.
No, this is quite funny, actually, right? In so much as that is a lie. Someone made up loads of quotes for me that I've never said. Can you actually believe that I would have done a report onto heroin in Afghanistan? People quote
that
to me.
That's hilarious.
I once did an interview for, I think it was the Daily Express, where you sit in a cab and you can't get out of the black cab and they drive around and interview you, and everything she asked me was based on a fake biog that someone had put on IMDb that I think has been taken down now. And it was just, but there was no way of walking away for either of us, so it consisted of her going, "So you got into comedy when you played Dorothy in the school production of Wizard of Oz," and I went, No, that's not
hilarious.
True.
It is good. So is this one true? "I dreamed I was shaving Michael Stipe's head. The following day I got a job at MTV. My first assignment was interviewing Michael Stipe in Dublin."
Again, better than the real story, but not true.
So it's not been taken down. That's the bad news.
Is your favourite film Jaws?
Yes!
Thank God. At last, we can trust the internet. do you have a... What?
I just said a few.
I thought you were excited about stuff.
No.
Well, I think we'll break to talk, to regroup.
End and talk.
To try and work out what we're doing. And we'll come back and talk about your show, Funny Rotten Scoundrels, live from the Century Club, Alaska TV, Alex Zane's Funny Rotten Scoundrels, which goes out on London Live, the new TV show series.
Considering TV. You interviewed a kid who was wandering around the studio the other day, I have to say there hasn't been a whole lot of research.
We don't need to research. We know you. I've seen you with Nev Campbell.
God, yeah, I'll see you in the bit of last, mate.
And it's thanks to Alex Zane's TV show that my TV show isn't on London Live, because they said they were only allowed to have one stand-up show. That is what they said. We said, thanks for that, but we've got Alex Zane doing a stand-up show.
We'll get turned down in different ways, but it's just an excuse.
Am I here so you can exact some petty revenge?
Yes. Yeah, that's what. That's everyone I talk to is because of that. Hey, look, it's Run DMC. This is genuinely good.
It's true.
It's tricky
to rock around, that's right, on time, it's tricky. Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Very bad timing, because I was just enjoying a carrot.
Lou snapped out the... Because last week we got hungry, we were doing a regular show, and then we got hungry in the last hour. It's a long time, 3 hours.
Without eating. I've never done it.
We had no food. Usually Lou brings loads of food and eats it during the... And she's eating some raw carrots at the moment, which apparently give you irritable bowel syndrome, according to our guest Alex Zane.
No, I said raw vegetables are difficult to digest, and okay. as a sufferer of IBS.
He was worried
IBS.
About my flatulence. But I told him.
It's a small room.
I don't give a shit. Alex Lane.
Hello.
He suffers from irritable bowel syndrome. We've made we should talk about that.
Should we ask him about
it? Yeah.
Alex, what's up with your arse, mate?
It's not the arse so much. It's the stomach area and the bowels, the lower, the duodenum, if you will. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's wheat. I don't know whether it's dairy.
Give up dairy. That's the biggest one. Mm-hmm. My friend did it. The wheat and dairy. I mean, everyone's different, but wheat and dairy are no-nos.
But that's why I was asking about your raw veg, because I assumed that if you're eating raw veg, you had some sort of issue yourself. But as you proclaimed, you've got a wonderful womb, which is unrelated to IBS.
I said to him, I've got... what did I say?
Yeah. You've got the womb and anus of an 18-year-old model, I think it was.
Yeah, that's what I said. Lee suggested it would be a hand model.
Martin Luther had big digestive problems as well.
He protested against the Catholic Church.
Also, Stuart Lee, the comedian, also has ulcerative colitis, which is much worse than irritable bowel syndrome.
I'm sure he's going to appreciate you telling. Look,
he goes on about it all the time.
And Rasputin had a growth on the end of his penis, which made him such a good lover.
Oh my God!
We said we'd talk about Rasputin. Did you hear us say that?
No, I just assumed we weren't going to talk about him. I know that both of you are fans.
Richard, jump into this now. No, talk about Rasputin.
It's no good if he knows it. He knows about everything. Everything we come at him with, he's got an answer for.
Okay,
that is a problem for us.
You say that.
Yeah.
The dark internet and buying magic mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
Can you get any?
Yeah, sure. What do you need?
Do you know about the dark internet, Alex?
Is this the internet behind the internet, the old internet, where it's kind of like
full of nonsense.
Knows everything.
Yeah, the other internet, which when you go on is actually terrifying. People think the real internet is scary, and you read the Daily Mail, and they go, "Look at this on the internet," and you go, "If only you knew," because the internet behind the internet, when you pull back the curtain, is full of the worst things ever.
Nonsense.
I don't think you should buy magic mushrooms online. I mean, I don't think you should buy magic mushrooms, but I don't think you should get them online. I think you'll get tricked.
No, I think you should. I think you should do both those things.
You don't get tricked.
The only drug I have really taken that I kind of got some reaction off was taking. I took magic mushrooms at the Glastonbury Festival. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is all right. They just make you. I thought I was eating. I'm going, it just makes you feel a bit like nice, like a joint, I imagine.
Yes.
And then about an hour later. I was watching some world music and the drum beat became my heart, and then I thought I was going to explode, and then I saw a devil sort of masturbating with a piece of liver. And I looked at the sky, and it was like the sky was the sea, and I was. But that was the best bit.
Did you ever find out whether part of the performance of the world music was a devil masturbating with some liver?
Of course it was.
These mushrooms, man. No, that's on stage, Richard.
Alex Zane.
Alex Zane. I'm going to
learned your interview technique.
Alex Zane.
Alex Zane. Tell us a bit about this
show you're doing.
Both of your interviews start well. They open big, and then I love the Alex Zane bit. I've yet to see any sort of build on that.
Listen, mate, the problem is
having two people speaking at once. That is the new thing we do, asking slightly different questions.
Dickie, you take over. I'll eat some carrots.
Okay, that's a bit. I'll tell you what, I'll just put your mic down. So, Alex.
Hello.
And we'll just put her in a box. It's back up again, Luke. Careful. What is this all about, this Live from the Century Club, Alex Zane's Funny Rotten Scoundrels? Tell us a bit of that.
It's a live stand-up show from Century Club, which features some brilliant comedians and me comparing, and it's on every week on London Live, a hot new channel exclusively for London.
I chanced across it the other day. I was flicking through my channels.
Did
looking,
you enjoy
looking
it?
For some, well, there was a I was a taxi driver eating beef burgers. That was the programme. I didn't see your show.
Oh, I see. Right.
So I just chanced across the channel.
I was going to have to go back into the edit and go, what was that part of the show?
It was quite a long show about a taxi driver eating beef burgers.
Right.
And he was sort of going, because I'm a taxi driver, I'm honest. I thought, well, that's not true.
I was just reading the sports section of the Metro, because I'm getting a black cab from here and I want to have something to talk to the driver about.
Beef burgers is what they're interested in.
I realised that. I've been wasting my time.
You have to work on charm.
You do. He's very charming. He's a charming man.
He's worked on it. He's reading the paper.
Before you got here, she said you were surprisingly charming.
Why surprisingly?
Well, you know.
Because good-looking guys generally don't have to be charming because they're just a good-looking. So they go, hey, come here, girls, and give me a kiss. Whereas I have to be very charming.
Smell my hand.
Is that it?
What?
Smell my hand.
You've had an attractive guy.
Does that work for you? Does that work for you? Smell my hand. Come here, smell my hand. I didn't wipe my ass properly. Got a bit on my hand. Have a smell. Yeah, that's my own shit.
I'm going to sit this bit out.
I think you should. So you've got people coming up. Is it? How many episodes did you do?
We did eight. We did eight.
Why didn't you ask me and Lou to be on it?
I didn't know you wanted to be on it.
Well, you know, obviously we did.
Oh, well, but would you like to be on it?
No.
How much do you get paid?
How much do I get paid?
No, how much do you get paid?
How much will you pay Lou to be on your show? Not very much, because they're not massive budgets on London Life.
While I admit our team is small, it's yet to come to the point where I'm handling the finances as well as everything else.
Are you getting paid for doing it?
I am being paid.
Yeah, good one.
What are you getting paid?
Not a lot.
It's I tell you what, they give you £20,000 an hour to make the whole show.
Whoa.
Which is a very, very low budget. As I know, because we put together, for Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, which we film, would make an excellent London Live show. Could you go back to Ian London Live and tell him about that? Because that isn't even a stand-up show. They rejected that because you're doing a stand-up show and Meaning of Life. Which,
well, you know, we've kind of got a podcast element in ours. It's like part of it's stand-up and then part of it is like the four comics, well, the three comics and myself sitting around a round table, navel-gazing
You'd
about comedy.
You'd know that if you looked it up, mate, yeah. Richard.
That's not a podcast, that's a conversation.
Well, podcast is a conversation.
I suppose it is, yeah. Right. It's an interview, yeah, I suppose. Right. So what you've done is you've taken the stand-up that I do and mixed it with the interview that I do. Those are both my ideas.
I'm not going to lie. What happened was I saw your pitch and I went, we don't have a conversation in our show. Let's use that and scupper Richard's chances of having a show.
I don't mind.
I won't lie.
I like doing stuff just on the internet for no money at all. We just figured, you know, because we've already filmed all of ours, if someone will give us £20,000 an episode, that's actually loads. If someone comes to you and says, here's £20,000, make a TV show, that's quite difficult.
Yep. That is difficult. Yeah. It's a really small team, and the budget's small, but also the immediacy with which it happened. I think it was like 2 weeks between us going, "Here, can we make the show?" and them going, "Yeah, all right," to actually starting filming. Which I mean, as you know, doesn't happen in TV. You have meetings about meetings, and commissioners go, "That commissioner's left now, and this new guy's coming in. He thinks there should be more dogs in the show." And you're going, "There was never any dogs in the show in the first place," and it goes on like that for 2 years.
How big a room are you playing? So it's not, because it's I suppose the comparable shows. There aren't many TV shows about with stand up. You've got Michael McIntyre's Live at the Apollo, whoever's doing that, which is obviously 3,000 people, and Stuart Lee's alternative comedy in a room of about 150.
Yeah, I mean, there's about 70 in our room, and I love Stuart's show and stuff, and I'm not saying we're the only show that sort of represents what it's like to actually perform in a club environment on TV, but it's become dominated. Like, I think for a while stand-up was getting totally homogenised. Like, there was Live at the Apollo, the Road Show, and I was just getting a little bit bored of seeing comics who I see on the circuit who don't wear suits suddenly being put in an ill-fitting suit by their agent because it's the BBC and performing to what is a really strange, absurd, like, theatre crowd where you don't see them interacting.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to make the show.
Yeah. And also it seems to be getting a few new names that maybe haven't been into. Someone like Alistair Barry, who's been going a long time, we've had on, who's, I don't think, has done any of those shows. It is, I think, as a stand-up, it's really difficult. I mean, I feel that I can't get on Michael McIntyre's Live at the Apollo, which I don't think I necessarily would want to do, but it'd be interesting. And, you know, also, I can't get on Stuart Lee's alternative comedy thing either.
Why?
I don't know. You'd think he would be grateful for me for helping. Because actually, I think he said it's really hard to get, even with that show, the channel have a certain amount of sway about what kind of acts they're booking.
And that's the weird thing. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that people...
Lou's just...
This is boring!
She's just... We'll get talking about having sex with your flatmate in the last bit. It'll be fine.
But one of the good things about London Live was the fact that they just sort of like, they totally backed off and they went, look, you guys seem to know what you're doing, do what you want, and we can book who we want, and like, they really left us alone, which is unheard of.
It is, but I think that will happen more. I think what's interesting, and the stuff I'm doing, which I'm doing on the internet, is, you know, you are in complete control of it. It gets cheaper and cheaper to make stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think internet TV and internet TV will just be much more people doing what they want rather than this these big kind of corporations putting lots of money into stuff and then ruining it by changing it into something it was never meant to be.
Well, you know, for want of a tedious but appropriate cliche, it is too many cooks spoil the broth.
Yeah.
It is that. The more people that you have going, I've got an opinion, it always reminds me of that brilliant Ricky Gervais story when he was making The Office and the commissioner, they'd sent him the commissioner through like 7 minutes or something, and he'd watched it and sent these notes back and gone, oh, you know, can you change this and do this and do this? And Ricky went to his editor, look, just don't do anything, send it back in half a day. And he sent it back in half a day exactly as it was, and the commissioner came back going, lovely, absolutely brilliant, thanks for putting the changes in. No wonder they just have to have something to say so it feels like they were part of making a piece of history.
Yeah. You all right, Lou?
Where have you been?
I've got some dick down my dress.
Not for the first time.
What I miss?
We were having a nice proper conversation till you came in like Bobby Ball and ruined it. We're having a proper conversation about comedy. Me and Alex were getting on really well, like two blokes who were equals almost.
With your famous catchphrase, I got some dick down my dress.
Whereabouts did it go, Lou? I can see there's a big mark on your... between the boob area for anyone listening at home wondering where the dip fell. It fell right between them.
If it only was to one side, you'd look like you were lactating slightly.
Now we're back.
It's you. You have this effect.
Now we're...
We were having a nice chat about TV and how it works.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Eat your fucking cauliflower.
Oh.
She's eating raw cauliflower, which is going to... Is it good for... Actually, it's good for you eating vegetables.
I imagine it's good for you. It's just not nice to see.
I mean, look at my skin. I've got the skin of a
I don't want to look at your skin.
You do have very good skin.
Thank you. Yeah.
Stop looking at
our
skin.
About time someone mentioned my skin on this radio.
There's so much of it on show, though. It's difficult to miss.
She's just come in naked as well, which makes it more difficult.
Alex Zane.
Okay. What are you going to ask? Have you got a good question? Because
no,
I can play a record otherwise.
So
I'll play Len.
Len? Steal My Sunshine.
Len. I can't have a bloke called Len doing a song. Len. At least think of the whole name. No, just come up with Len.
Fine,
it is Steal My Sunshine. You guessed correctly.
Yay.
Here it comes now. Len.
Len. Here it comes, everyone.
It's a nice day. It's the perfect song for a nice day.
It is lovely.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week.
Fubar.
You smell my finger. Welcome back to the Richard Herring Show. I wish it was only me on it, but unfortunately, Lou Sanders is also here. And yeah, I'm not saying it'd be nice to have Alex Zane here for a bit. I wouldn't like him here for the whole 3 hours.
No.
He would undermine me with his funniness and good looks.
Doesn't
he? He does. Talking to the microphone, Lou, will people come in?
No,
if it's secret,
on my show, you just
if
said.
If it's secret, you don't have to talk into the microphone. we were looking at... we've been talking about...
How's it really going with you two? Is it all right?
Can't you feel the sexual chemistry between us?
You say sexual tension, it's just tension.
it's nice.
We love each other, really. It's just a joke, isn't it?
Yes. It's just, I think we've gone very, this is how I treat everyone.
Yeah.
It's probably why I've got no friends.
You haven't actually, have you?
No, I don't really. Well, I'm too old for friends now. I'm 46 years old.
Do you not want
when you get no, when you get older, you don't have any. I've got a wife.
Likes playing snooker by himself.
I play snooker against myself. I've got a wife. If I want to talk to someone else, I'll go and talk to her.
Wee bowling is a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but
I've got a Wii at home. It's in a cupboard. I never really.
No, get it out. Get it out. I mean, it depends. I was Wii snowboarding the other day on my Wii Fit. And I was having fun, but I also caught myself in the mirror and realised there is no more depressing an image than a man standing alone in his living room in his underwear pretending to snowboard.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah.
There probably is sadder things than
that. Your eyes just then, Richard, went, I know something worse.
My whole life, not being Alex Zane while you're doing that, is definitely worse. We've been asking people about their siblings.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got a sibling called James?
Oh, I do. I've got a younger brother called James.
Yeah, I saw him on... he's on the internet.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's mentioned.
Yeah. I used to do horrible things to him.
What did you do?
Well, just... he slept on the bottom bunk, I slept on the top bunk, and I convinced him that there was such a thing as a carpet shark, which was a shark that basically lived under the carpet, and that because he was on the bottom bunk, there was every likelihood it would reach up in the night and drag him to his carpety death. But I stopped being nasty to him. Weirdly enough, it was simultaneously when he grew bigger and stronger than me. And after that, I was nice to him because he's huge.
Yeah,
like a giant man.
Is he?
Yeah.
I had a thing like that with a guy. The guy sat behind me. He was a new kid who sat behind me at school in German. And because he was new, I could bully him a bit. And then he got really big, and then I had to stop bullying. He's a nice guy, John Barrett.
Someone's blowing milk at break time, isn't
he? I'm right up there.
The food by internet's gone a bit slow, which makes my researching Alex Zane much harder to do. It's very hard to do. I've got a bit printed up here. I'll read this. What?
Alex Zane, and then what comes up afterwards? Twitter, Wiki, Comedy Night, Net Worth. That's what comes up.
But what is your net worth? Comes up.
If you type in G, it comes up girlfriend. If you type in B, it doesn't come up boyfriend.
Put is.
Alex Zane is.
No. I purposefully stay off Google.
Hot is the fourth one.
The fourth one. Mine comes up.
Don't tell me the other three. Don't you dare tell me the other three.
Mine comes up fat, racist. jealous prick. There was something else we did it the other day, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, Richards. Yeah. Jealous prick.
Those are my ones. So, are you not?
I typed in someone's name. I won't say who because it would be very, very cruel. But I typed in a comedian's name.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote blah blah is funny, and Google came back with blah blah is unfunny.
That happens to everyone. So you were born in Leeds.
I was born in Leeds.
Do you support Leeds United football team?
As long as there are no further questions, yes.
I'm just helping you with your taxi driver conversation on the way out. That's why he'll ask.
Alan Smith used to play for them. That's all I've got.
When I was about 12, I didn't really like football. I liked playing Sabutio against myself. But I went through a stage where I got Shoot magazine. But I think I only got it because you got like a free league ladder that you could do, and I kind of like the statistics more than the sport. But I did put lots of pictures of footballers, and I did support Leeds United at the time. Frank Worthington, I remember having up on my wall, who was like quite a middle aged.
I'm really bored
man.
Again.
I'm interested to know that because you blamed.
There
was no blame involved, but you said, "Oh, I'm too old for friends." But you were playing Sabutio as a child on your own, which means you've never had friends. Age has nothing to do with it.
Well, my brother and sister were older than me, so when I was in the house, you know, they weren't interested in playing with me. I sometimes played my brother at snooker, but mainly I played myself at snooker, and that gave rise to the best selling. Podcast Richard Herring's.
You know when you won £800 at poker.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else in the room?
It was just me playing myself. But you know, I lost £800 as well. But
yeah.
But I also won
it. You broke even.
So yeah,
it's the best you could hope for.
What was it like doing?
Just in a smoking jacket on around this table. Like the setup is beautiful. It's a proper poker table. Low lighting. You've got a cigar, a glass of whiskey, and there's no one else there.
I think when you get older, you will find that you just can't be bothered to go out. When I was your age, like about 10 years ago, I'm guessing, almost exactly 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I was going out all the time because I felt, you know, if I wasn't out, if I was back in the house, I felt like something was going wrong with me.
I live on my own, and so I have to go out because I find if I spend too much time in on my own, like the first conversation I have, if I spend a weekend in alone, the first conversation I have on a Monday morning is a really awkward affair, like you forget how to communicate with other humans,
and that's Alex Zane.
I know.
How are you? Well, good, nice, hi.
On his bio, it says years active 2000 to the present.
Yes,
he's still active,
still going.
Alex Zane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here it comes. It's going to be good.
Who does your hair?
I do it myself, actually. Yeah,
what?
Yeah, I know. I cut it myself. I wash it myself.
You cut it yourself with pinking shears? Or what do you do?
I just sort of take a. I've got a beard trimmer, and I take a beard trimmer to it and just cut off the bits that are annoying me.
I
think you might want to have another look at the back there when you get home.
Richard favours a bob. He's got his in
few times I've had it cut, the guy's gone, I'm going to make sure, you know, with long hair, you can look feminine if you're not careful. And then he's just given me a bob every single time.
I think it's good, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Grown out a bit now. So
do you think there is an age when you're going to have to get it cut short?
Maybe. I'll keep thinking that. But then, you know, my wife likes it. I kept saying, I want to get it cut. I'm an old man now. I can't have long hair. But I don't know. I think it, you know, I think if I get it cut short, I did get it cut short about 3 or 4 years ago, and I look really grey. I mean, I know I do look quite bad. I wasn't as grey then, and I just looked like it. I just felt like I looked like a bank manager.
So well, I remember watching you on This Morning with Richard, yeah. Not Judy, and it was short then.
It was short.
I remember thinking it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, you could carry it off more.
I had it short. I did have it long in one series of This Morning with Richard, Not Judy, but it was too long.
You
and
know, like you're a real fan.
Was that the last series?
I can't remember which. I think the last series, yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
Do you feel some sort of guilt about the hair being the reason?
No, because I think the reason we weren't as successful as we kind of could have been was because of Stuart Lee's hair. I think if I turned, if I watched Fist of Fun now and turned on Fist of Fun now and saw Stuart Lee with that stupid fucking spidery thing on his head, I'd go, I'm not watching that. I'm a grown man. I'm not going to watch that idiot. So, you know, I think Stuart Lee's hair was much more to blame. But, I
like the little girl with the boxing glove.
Yeah, all right.
Fist off.
I think a lot of people do, and some of them going, well, what's happened to that girl with the boxing glove? And you're kind of going, that's now getting a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
It's like Natalie Portman in Leon.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you say when people go, she's good? You go, yeah, yeah, she is. Like Christina Ricci in The Addams Family.
Yeah.
Again.
That's why he knows so much about the dark internet.
that's what he's going on for.
Do you do stand up now? No. Sometimes.
Did we not?
She was out of the room when we talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what he's here for?
When you dip out my dress.
When you asked me to come in, it was to talk about the stand-up show.
Yeah.
It's just when you specifically rang me, Luke. And when Alex, were you coming to talk about your stand-up show?
You don't do the stand-up.
It's just we've been talking to you for an hour and you just haven't said anything funny. So I just thought maybe you'd become very serious.
I thought you hosted it.
Yeah.
But then that's not stand-up.
But you're doing stand-up in your hosting.
Comparing is a form of...
I haven't seen this
shitty
show.
Well, maybe you should watch the shitty show.
Maybe I should be on it. Then I might watch it.
Well, you're doing a good job of making me want you on it.
Also, I forgot deodorant today. Carry on, Richard.
I've got some in my bag if you want some man's deodorant.
God, someone give us some deodorant.
It's nice. It's getting warm. They're turning the heat up and it's making us more... How long did it take you to learn that dance you did with Alexa Chung to advertise your being
good
on
question.
Pop World.
Right, okay, so you know how you feel today, drinking heavily the night before.
No one said heavily.
I was really, really hungover that day.
How were you?
I was sweating and I was hot, and it took about half a day to learn it, and then it took about, I don't know, 30 goes to get it in time.
Fuck.
I'm really proud of that little commercial though.
I
didn't make it.
It must have been hard when, you know, all the takes you had to stop because of your erection or dancing next to Alexa Chung. She's very nice looking.
Beautiful. Oh, she's so beautiful.
Very nice. Mm. How did you get on with Alexa Chung?
Really? No, we got on really well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you finger her much?
I'm sure I don't know what that means. No, I didn't. We were literally, it would have been an incredibly bad idea.
It would. It would glue. It'd be like sleeping with someone with your flatmate. That would be how stupid. It'd be like you and me having sex now over this desk.
I tell you what, guys.
I'm quite proud of the way I said that. It would have been an incredibly bad idea. Like the offer was there. Yeah. I successfully turned it down. I turned down her many advances. No.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Do sort of ghostly monsters count, or is
three times that counts.
I was camping at the base of Snowdonia and I saw a large flying creature that was bigger than any. I was an ornithologist, so I know what birds
were. You do, because you did
around.
Bird watching with Bill Bailey.
Bill Bailey's big bird team watching bonanza. I was a team captain, which annoyed me because sometimes they pitched me as a celebrity guest, and I said, I'd only do it if I was a team captain.
Right.
And they're like, well, I really was. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, mate.
And and it was larger, and it was carrying what looked like a lamb in its mouth, and it just flew over the campsite. And I sort of rubbed my eyes like they do in movies, like, what is, like, a cartoon character? Did I really see that? And it had gone.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So you didn't really see it. How did it look? Was it like a dinosaur?
Like a pterodactyl.
A pterodactyl.
Or a pteranodon.
Because I remember reading a book about someone who, you know, claimed in the Mexican desert to have seen a pterodactyl, and they cut a dead pterodactyl, and they cut a bit of it off.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the days where everyone had cameras. You must have had a. Did you have a camera? You were. How old were you?
Well,
this was before cameras.
You see it, then it's gone.
That's amazing. I mean, everyone we've asked that question has seen a ghost, which makes me think that people who work in the entertainment industry are all mentally ill.
Or just susceptible. Because we're so bloody creative. Yes. We're tuned into the spirit world.
Were you on magic mushrooms? In the you must have been. You're in a field in Snowdonia. You're on magic mushrooms. I saw the devil wanking off a piece of liver.
Yeah, I'd spent the day on the dark internet. I had some magic mushrooms.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
Why not?
Yeah, good. See,
why don't you try opening your mind and closing your legs?
Okay, why don't you try talking into the microphone on a radio station?
Because I'm a maverick. Okay.
Good. Have you got a question for Alex Zane?
Oh yeah.
Ask Alex Zane a question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, it's one of you seen a ghost? Is that why we're talking ghosts?
No, I just like to ask the question. I don't believe in the paranormal, but Lou does believe in all the paranormal. Okay,
do you believe in Yvette Fielding though?
I believe she exists, but I believe some of the things she's seen are not real.
Because for a long time, I thought Most Haunted was like, is Yvette Fielding real? And it was sort of a documentary about, is she a ghost?
It would be amazing if that turned at the end of it, they went, what, Yvette Fielding? She's been dead for 20 years. And they bet, she's right here.
What are you looking at me like that for?
I've just fallen in love with you. Just a second. I've just seen everyone sees in you. I was just thinking about whether I was going to talk about. I probably won't talk about it. The guy from Most Haunted was Derek Acora. It's him, isn't it? But he got into trouble for saying that he'd had contact with someone who knew about Madeleine, saying Madeleine McCann was dead, and then everyone was very upset about it.
I saw Derek Acora coming out B&Q once with planks of wood. Come on, mate.
You ever been on Second Life, that social networking site where you actually walk round as an animated?
Oh, I've never been on it, no.
I went on there once, and I was walking round, and on the side of a virtual building was a virtual poster of a virtual Madeleine McCann going, where is she?
Wow.
And I thought, wherever she is, she's not in here.
Well, could be. That could be the answer.
My God, like
Yvette Fielding.
Like Lawnmower Man.
We're getting into some dark territory. That's fine.
You, because of your milky white skin.
Yeah, my milky white.
And your form, I have a friend who would describe you as being sculpted out of marshmallow by a pervert.
That's horrible.
That's beautiful.
That is so horrible.
No, I thought you said he was charming.
Because marshmallows, one, they're flabby.
Yeah.
And two...
But if you sculpt a marshmallow...
If you want to lick her and see if that's true, if she takes...
I'm not that white.
No.
I think I need to change my foundation shade. one shade paler.
But no, some marshmallows are really pink, though, Lou, so you're one of those ones.
That's true.
Oh, that's what I meant. Did that not come across?
I didn't even come across, mate.
Bubblegum pink. So is there anywhere we can come and see you do all the stand-up you do these days now?
Yeah.
Are you still recording these shows, the London Live shows?
No, they're all finished now, but season two.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Hello, guys.
We'll be there.
Welcome to the party.
If the money's right. Are you gigging at all? Can we come and see you anywhere? We're not going to come, but the people at home might come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where. You hosted
that club at the student place. Is that still going?
That's still going.
That's where I saw Nev Campbell.
Was she at that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at
that. That's why I was surprised. I did a fucking gig at a student, and then the girl off the Wild Things, and the one who didn't take a top off was in there.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe the ones that took a top off's going to turn up next and take a top off.
Do you see, that scene would have been sexy where Denise Richards takes her top off if it wasn't for Matt Dillon's gurney in it. It's a really uncomfortable gurney.
That's what I was getting off on.
Good. It's good, and now I've noticed it's on Netflix, so next time my wife's out. That's my
directed by John McNaughton, wasn't it?
He knows everything about movies.
It's a good movie.
Are you still doing anything movie based?
Kevin Bacon gets his penis out in that movie.
No.
Kevin Bacon gets his penis in a lot of movies.
Because he do it a lot. I don't think I've ever seen it. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon's penis.
I've never even seen Kevin Bacon's penis.
You need to watch Wild Things. It just hangs there. He steps out of the shower towards the end and you're like, bloody hell.
Is it nice?
I'm sort of beyond judging other men's penises,
I'm not. I've got 2 weeks because we're not going to be here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
I'll make it my mission to look at his penis and judge
and
it.
Give it a mark out of 10.
I will look at it because, you know,
as
I said about the Max Clifford case, I'm pretty sure I said this on air. You know, it changes. It doesn't. A flaccid penis is a different length at all times. So I can't just look at it once and go, oh, that I can judge his penis. I will need to see a selection of his penises and some. some of them not in movies? Because I bet he gave a little. He'll have given a little Max Clifford tug, wouldn't he? Just to get it up to acceptable standards.
Here's
just
a feature. Measurement. Here's a feature. Have a look at Wild Things. Yeah. Take a long, hard look at Kevin Bacon's penis. Yeah. Yes. And then what Lou can do is provide you with a selection of penises. Yeah. And you can try and work out which is Kevin's penis.
That'd be good. We'll do that. That could be a new feature. Because we like the visual features here. What are we on? FUBAR Radio. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Kevin
that's it.
Smelled a bacon, as it were.
Well, you know what? The second hour is up. And it's time to say goodbye to Alexander.
To you.
He can stay if he wants, but you know, I don't think he'll want to. He's got a taxi waiting for him. So let's have a little bit from the Doors.
Can I get my cash?
You can. We pay better than London Live. God, there's 1 minute 2 seconds of lead into this. We don't have to talk for the whole thing. Shame about Jim Morrison dying, wasn't it?
Oh, what shame!
It was a shame. He was 27, I think.
But, I mean, have we covered this before?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's been reported, actually. I think he might be breaking this story.
Yeah, died in Paris, in a bath.
Start getting over it.
And, you know, he looked quite dodgy towards the end. He was a very good-looking man, which is a signal lesson to Alex Zane.
Yeah, it's not going to last forever, mate.
He sort of got very influenced by politics, but yet didn't really have the understanding to back it up, so came across like a little bit of someone who was just jumping on a bandwagon, which is sad, because he was a genius.
Well,
That's Alex Zane's opinion.
I think sadness is the best way to end this interview. I'm sad, and I know you are.
For the last hour, we'll have an hour's silence as we think about Jim Morrison.
You have to be political. If you wear a bandana, you just look political.
I really hated this experience, by the way.
I think it's the best interview you have ever been involved in, either as an interviewer or interviewee.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders. Ripping you a new ear hole.
Wow, that was a long record, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We should play more records like that. It means we don't have to work so hard.
We don't have to do all the talking.
No wonder he died at 27 if he's going to go on for 15 minutes with a song.
Too much. Make it into two songs. Same song.
All the girls, and there's a lot of ladies working on the show today, and they got a lot of ladies who weren't working on the show came into the booth for some reason.
Swooning.
They're all very overexcited for some reason. I mean, I think maybe just. After these few months we've been here, suddenly I am become sexually attractive. They've realised how sexually attractive I am and have got excited.
Or me, they might be lesbians.
They might be. And it's just coincided with Alex Zane being around. They were all kind of doing that with their hands like they were in Jane Austen or something, making the fan in their face. Oh, I can't believe.
What did I say to you? I said, you wouldn't get to touch my tuppence, didn't I?
He did say that. And know, you know, given how easy that is to achieve that is quite a
set the bar
slam.
Pretty low, didn't I?
He's actually out there in the booth just having sex with some of the employees. Of FUBAR Radio
well,
right now.
They'll leave for pregnancy reasons.
They will, with a bit of luck.
Why a bit of luck?
I don't know. I've no idea. Hey, let's have. Let's. Why don't you eat some broccoli? And then we'll do a couple more stories from people about their siblings. This is from Matt Smith.
Yes.
Doctor Who. This is from the actual Doctor Who.
Yes.
I'm gonna be sure that is true. My sister used to love nothing more than trapping me in a chair and then leaning over me, hocking back a greenie in her throat, and before letting it roll down her tongue with me struggling under her trying to get away. That reminds me of when I went to Scouts when I was a cub. That's what the Cubs made us. The Scouts made the Cubs sort of spit in each other's faces. And I never went back to Scouts again. She let a manky mucus hang down until it almost touched my nose before sucking it back up. Oh, this is making me feel actually physically sick. My brother used to cook my cheap co-op pizza for me when I was a kid. There were cheap 99p ones. You'd remove the plastic polystyrene from them before popping them under the grill for 5 minutes. I was quite happy with letting him do this, even knowing he was a complete cunt. Come on. It was the only there's no need for language like that on a family radio station. It was the only nice thing he did for me, until I found out part of his pizza cooking ritual was to secretly pull his trousers down.
Oh no.
And fart into the centre of the pizza just before popping under the grill and then sit and watch me eat it with glee.
Yeah, and
for some reason we're no longer a close family. Loving the show.
Oh, that's nice.
I've been paying since day one.
Oh.
I feel compelled to give you money at all opportunities.
Ah, oh, come on then.
Thanks,
I've got a fund.
I think that's just for me, yeah. Is he giving anything to the house?
Parents think that they're being kind by having a sibling to, you know, so it's not on any child, but they're not being kind. They're being
Do you think that farting on a pizza would really make any difference to the pizza? I mean, you know, it's like a it's a It's like an imaginary thing. The fart chemicals
particles.
Do not become...
It's got particles.
It isn't. It's a gas. The gas is going to... A, the gas that we burnt off in the oven.
I don't like it.
But B, it's not going to imbue itself into...
I'll make you dinner and fart all over next time.
I'd be fine with that. I suppose when you've sometimes... What I've found with farting... My wife doesn't like me farting, especially if it smells bad for some reason.
Funny.
So what I've found is you can sometimes fart onto like a cushion or a piece of material or something, and that will...
Whoa.
Take the smell of the fart away.
Whoa.
It will kind of, so I guess that might happen with pizza as well. I think it's more with cloth. If you can fart into cloth, then the cloth will retain the fart. And then you can take the cloth away and release the fart somewhere
else. Over her moaning face.
Or your chest when she's asleep.
Now listen up, I've got an email. We all got an email.
Yeah,
this one's from Joseph Webb. I like his title, he's put "My Bloody Brother." Hi, Rich and Lou.
That's nice.
I'm younger than my brother by three... As a result, I won't read it out in my best voice. I'm younger than my brother by 3.5 years. When I was about 6-ish, he would pretend to lie on the ground and pretend to be dead and wait for me to find him. So far, so heard it.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
When I discovered his corpse, he would speak to me using the voice of God and explain that God was speaking through my brother. God would tell me that my brother was dead, but as a sign of respect, I should steal biscuits and sweet things from the kitchen and put on his body, thus removing the jeopardy of him stealing, obviously. The worst thing is I fell for it more than once.
Good. I had something I was going to tell you then.
Go on.
Nah, it's gone.
That's what you're talking about. You're losing it, aren't you?
I certainly am. My memory is going. I was trying to think. I've been playing the Pointless app on my phone
every week, going banging about Pointless.
It's, you know, I was trying to think of the name of both Mulder and Scully from the X-Files, which I used to love, and I couldn't think of either of their real names. I had to look up both of them. Gillian Anderson
and
what's his name?
I don't know.
Fox. I could remember Fox Mulder. I could remember his character name in full, but I couldn't remember his actual character name. He crops up a lot in the Larry Sanders shows as himself.
What's his name? Let's just kill ourselves and get to 60.
David Duchovny.
Oh, yeah.
You should have known that. And Amanda, our producer, has, been ratting out her colleagues by saying which ones were trying to escort Alex out of the building.
Brilliant.
The girls have been fighting over the... one of them wasn't even here. Talia's come
imagine
in.
Imagine what it must be like to have girls like fawning over you all the time.
Well, I don't actually have to imagine that. I know what that is like, and it's, you know, it's actually quite hard. Anyway, Alex left us half drunk bottle of water here.
Whoa.
And so if anyone would like to have that, that is another potential prize. This is not linked in with the DVD and vampire
fans. This is not linked in.
So you can have Alex Zane's, and it might have some of his DNA on it, and you might be able to put that in your vagina and make a baby.
Keep dreaming, guys. Anything's possible.
It is possible with a bit of his spit. He is so, you know, he's so magnetic that maybe he has such sexual magnetism, I should say. He's not like, he didn't walk out with bits of spoon sticking to him.
Sometimes you can be good at, maths.
Yes.
People like that.
Well, they don't. And you've just said you've had enough of anal scientists. You like people like Alex Zane. So do email in herring@foobarradio.com with say I would like Alex Zane's water and then in brackets and child. I promise to put some of the water in my vagina or anus if I am a man.
God.
And if I have a baby, I will name it Richard. That is whether it's a boy or a girl. Please mark your emails like that. We'll have another record, and then we're going to come back with some news from earlier in the week. The news stories you may have missed, or you may not. Oh, this is good as well. We've got Blondie now. Everything's coming up roses. I love Blondie. Deborah Harry, she now calls herself. She's like in her 60s now.
But she was old.
She was like old when I was a kid. I used to fancy. I had no idea she was like 35, 36 years old when Blondie's came out. And now, but she's still, you know, I still would.
Yeah, of course.
Because I love her personality.
Yeah,
this is Atomic. But, you know, this might come up in on your Pointless app.
Where?
Blondie songs. I think it might be one of the things. Atomic's not a terrible answer. I think a lot of people will come up with it. Oh, I've got Alex Zane's mic up still. That was Pointless. Pointless.
Oh.
Get it?
FUBAR Radio.
I reckon if you're going to do Pointless, I reckon Dreaming might be a good one. Rapture. I think these might be pointless answers if you ever get that. If you, it's not a good app, the pointless app, because what's that about? Ripping up the script. Let's rip up the script.
Let's just
this
go.
This has all been heavily scripted. We're going off script now. I'm terrified. Anything could happen, but, you know, up till now, we've got a team of people writing this stuff for us. Then, to be honest, they're not really good, and we're committed to reading out what they've written. I don't like playing the pointless app because I think people cheat.
Okay. I don't want to hear no more about pointless.
I can play it now. I can play a bit now for you. I can play it live. They don't know. They don't realise they're playing the... when they play, it just says Richard K because that's my middle initial. I play off my Facebook thing.
Dickie.
And these people have no idea they're playing against... actually, someone who's been on The Real Pointless. My Pointless episode is on April the 26th.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I know all about the game, having played it all the way through to the final and winning the final. Well, let's see. I've just beaten. I was just playing. Here are some pairs of famous men. Tell us which famous. Oh, let's see if you can do it.
Go on.
Here are some pairs of famous men. Tell us which famous woman was married to them both. Jim Kerr and Liam Gallagher. Who married both of them?
Oh, I know this. I do know this. It's she's got short brown hair. She lives
she used
in,
to be in the fairy.
Hill.
She's been the fairy advert for fairy liquid.
I know who she is, mate. I'm just trying to think of her name. Sadie Frost.
So you'd have lost there. Patsy Kensit, who was married to Eddie Fisher. That's for 27 points. Eddie Fisher and Richard Burton. God, that's an easy 45% of people know this.
Not Helen Bonham Carter because she's not married him.
No, that's right. They have to be. That's the game. Johnny Lee Mirror and Bobby Bill Thornton. This is the one I went for 23 points. Second best game on, second best answer on this board. Add Angelina Jolie. Humphrey Bogart and Jason Robards were both married too for the best answer on the board.
Blue.
Lauren Bacall. I won this round, and then the second. Then I did. I went for Gary Oldman and Ethan Hawke, which was the best answer. Who's been married to Gary Oldman and Ethan Hawke?
Well, last time I checked, this wasn't a pub quiz, mate, so...
Come on, it was Uma Thurman. Only three people knew that. Mm. And more people knew about who Eric Clapton and George Harrison were both married to.
Stop getting off on your general knowledge.
So it's, it's the decider round, right? I'm going to play it live on air, see if you can join in. Fuck. Name a cinema release for which Jamie Lee Curtis receives an acting credit up to 2012. I like playing Leah because she doesn't cheat. She's gone for Freaky Friday, which is 6 points. I'm going to go for True Lies. I think Jamie Lee Curtis is in that.
Hang on, what about me? I might want to.
No, because then that'd be cheating, wouldn't it? That'd be to ask you. Let's see if I got it right.
Prom Night. Terror Train.
I got it right. It's coming down. 65. This is as exciting as in the bag. 14. That's not very good. So with one round to go, I am 8 points behind her. Anyway, look, it's time to go into... No one can say this is not a very, very, very exciting radio show. We're playing Pointless Live on the Pointless app. You can buy it for £1.50. It's not quite good enough because the same questions keep coming up. Here is the news.
Well, that's news to me. News time.
That is that extra little... What are you eating there? Mentos?
Gum.
Mentos gum. Don't eat
don't
chewing gum.
Product placement.
It's all right, we can put product placement in. As long
they won't hear
them,
me.
Especially they're not... They will. Don't eat chewing gum.
It's a joke.
It's not a very funny joke. I think, you know, take this seriously or ship out. Shut up or ship out. I had a good piece of news, but it's gone. Will you tell me your piece of news?
Good news, guys. This is there, Dan. Good news, guys. A small penis pageant is back again this year. This is something in America where... last year, we saw the first ever competition take place in Brooklyn, with six men taking to the stage to compare their packages across a series of different challenges, including the skimpy mesh mankini swimwear round. This is great. The winner, Nick Gloronon, 27, a UPS store worker, took home $200.
What are they doing for having a small penis?
Well, there's different rounds, I think.
Right.
So... I mean, it doesn't say too much about it, but the picture is of a handsome, worked-out man. But why is it the small penis pageant?
I don't know. I'm going to play Halloween as my other answer for Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, God. Anyway, do you want another news
So
story?
I don't cheat. Look, I go for that. I can't even remember if that's Steph. That is right. That's 26. She's got a good chance of winning there, Leah. We'll see if she comes back before the end of the show. It'll be a very exciting little thing to go. I've got a good piece of news that I can tell you about.
Go on.
This leak links into something I used to do on one of my podcasts, which I'll tell you about as well. Dog calls Thames Valley police after dialing 999 and breathing heavily. So a dog, police responded to a heavy breather, making a 99 call from a Buckinghamshire address, and they discovered the culprit was a canine. Mary Amos Cole's dog, Leighton, stole her telephone and managed to call the emergency services from a garden in Edlesborough. she said. Thames Valley Police arrived and said they'd heard heavy breathing and didn't know what our emergency was. He's a very naughty dog. But luckily we all took it as a bit of a joke. But I used to, that as an excuse, when I was 6 years old and at primary school, infant school, in fact, I might have been even 5 years old, I didn't like going to the toilet, which you had to do number two. I wouldn't want to go to the toilet in school. And I had such a fear of doing that that I actually needed to go to the toilet in school and I pooed my pants. So I pooed my pants and I tried to get, and I was wearing little, I can remember I was wearing little red shorts. As I was a child at the time. And I pooed my pants quite heavily. But they, it smelt quite badly. And all the other kids going, oh, what's that smell? What's going on there? And I was going, oh, it's a naughty dog outside. A naughty dog's done a poo outside.
How
it's coming in the window.
How did you think you were going to get away with it?
Well, I don't know, but it worked. They were going, oh, and then they're going, naughty dog. And then they smell it again, oh, what a naughty dog. And I managed to get away with it for a bit, but then a bit of the poo had slipped out. So this was when my crime fell apart. Because my bit of poo came on the floor and then everyone was standing around looking at the poo. And then the teacher said, who did this poo? Then I ran out to the toilets in shame and my mum had to come and get me at the end and I had poo all in my pants.
Yuck.
It was a big poo as well, I remember it. But I think that's quite a good excuse for if anything happens to you, just say a naughty dog did it.
Yeah,
it worked. I mean, I nearly got away with it.
So that could Max Clifford could have got away with it.
This weren't anyone could have. And maybe he did get away with it. So let's not say maybe he didn't do anything to get away with. Is what I'm trying to say, because that has not yet, as we're speaking, come to fruition. But then maybe this woman, she rang the 999 and then heavy breathed to the police and then thought, how am I going to get this? Then say it's a naughty dog. Try it with anything you like. A naughty dog will get you out of nearly everything. That is my belief.
My cat had a cat called Crunchy, and we went to France for a year when I was 11.
Yeah.
And we gave the cat to the woman. Crunchy phoned America.
Wow.
By, like, knocking the thing off and then just sitting on the keypad. Phoned America, they only picked up and it's like, oh, hello, good day. Well, I don't know what happened.
But hello, good day. It was an Australian in America. Hello, good day. I don't know what I'm doing in America, but
well,
it's good to be here.
Go to America.
They do. It was very confusing for Crunchy.
I told my friends at school and they thought I was lying and
it
was in the
local
paper.
I think you knocked off the phone and rang America and left it off the hook for a year and then you did it just before you went and it was a year and then your parents said, why is the phone bill £1 million? And you went, oh, a naughty cat did it. It's exactly the same thing. But try that at home if you want that. You can have that if you do something wrong. If there's, oh, what a naughty dog.
Maybe I should use that as my excuse last night for whatever we're not saying. It was a naughty dog. In many ways.
It was not me
in many ways, it was.
It was.
I've got a story. Do you want to
hear it? Yeah, I'd love to. More news. News!
Okay. Four female kindergarten teachers discover a colleague has been urinating in their thermos flasks. And they set up a hidden camera.
Why do you have to bring the tone down?
China, of course.
We were talking about pooing in our pants.
I'm kidding. Right, okay. So
was it in China?
It was. Four female nursery teachers.
Racist.
That was a joke.
Tell us the story.
The women, aged between 21 and 26, irrelevant, but still, complained to police. So basically, they kept smelling their tea and it kept smelling funny.
Yeah.
And in the end, they...
Naughty dog did it. That's what I'd have said.
They thought it was a flask. And they kept getting new flasks. They set up a camera, filmed him doing it, right?
Was it a sexual thrill of making women drink his urine? Because I can see that. He's only human. you know the water you're drinking there?
Yeah. Oh.
I wouldn't win it. I've just dipped my cock in it.
He only had to pay £200 to each of the women.
I would pay £200 to make a woman drink my piss without her realising it. If that's the punishment, I'm going to do that and then just go, here's your £200. Thanks a lot.
But he's still got his job. Imagine how awkward that is in the staff room. imagine they were all going to lunch. Not you, Ken. Not you. You've been mad. He's still. The bitch on the website is really funny.
I bet he goes in and sometimes grabs the thermos flask and goes, hey, and Ken's just going to wee in it. Hey, remember when I did that? Yeah.
What are you going to spend your £200 on? Another fucking flask. Look at the
picture.
Some
mints. I think I'll spend £200 worth of mints. Maybe that's why you got mints. What?
The ninth picture down is just a flask next to a kettle and someone pointing at it.
That is, but that looks like quite phallic, that middle flask.
Well, they've
it looks like
only got themselves to blame.
It's skin coloured. If you come into town with it, to school with a skin-coloured flask that looks like a penis, what man isn't going to wee into it? We're only human. If we see something that looks like a penis, we wee into it. That's what we do.
Yeah, she's been. They've been foolish.
Have you got any other news stories? I've got one here. This is from Tuesday, for some reason, Daily Mail, which I enjoy this because the front page, it makes it seem very exciting. Annika Rice, amazing 22-year-old marriage, 22-year marriage secret. Sebastian says it's Shakespeare pages 34 to 35. It's got a picture of Annika Rice looking young and beautiful in 1992 with her husband Nick Abbott. You think this is going to be amazing. Yes. You know, I'm going to buy the paper on the strength of finding out what her terrible secret is. Yeah. Then you turn to page 34, 35. There's a tiny little story going. Guests at the Olivia Awards were intrigued when BBC presenter Annika Rice took an unusual interest in one of the winners. It turns out to be theatre producer Nick Allott, her estranged husband and father of two of her sons. For 22 years after separating, they remain man and wife. Everyone thinks we're divorced, but we're not, the former Treasure Hunt presenter tells me. It's no big deal interviewing him as we're friends. Allott, who is impresario Cameron McIntosh's right-hand man, says, I don't think it's anyone else's business why we've taken this decision to stay married. After all, this time, it suits us. We're civilised people. The couple split up after 55-year-old Rice embarked on an affair with TV executive Tom Guttridge, with whom she had another son. Not really a great story, is it?
I'm glad you read it.
Their marriage secret is that they're still married.
No, but
I thought it was going to be like she'd been having sex with other people.
I was hoping that.
And it wasn't. It was not a very exciting story at all. So the Daily Mail, you have let us down.
But then we've read it out.
The front page of the Daily Mirror, I think this is a great offer on Tuesdays. Again, Tuesday for some reason, Daily Mirror. £2 off at Poundland. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
£2 off at Poundland. Everything costs a pound. So that means everything you buy, they're going to give you a pound.
Oh, I can't get this into my brain. How good it is.
That is a pretty good deal. So you could just go into Poundland, buy everything they have, like 10,000 items, and they'd give you £10,000 to take them away.
No, I don't think that is how it works.
It isn't. It's when you spend £12 in store. Yeah. But imagine how hilarious the world would be if they'd made that mistake. And while you're imagining that, this is another stonking long record. They're really helping us out in this. I think they've realised their last hour. We get tired, don't we?
Yeah.
So we need like a little break.
We're
to think
we're
about
into it at the moment, mate.
You're not enjoying it?
No.
Here comes Nick Cave and his Bad Seeds. There she goes, my beautiful girl. This is a great song. Well done, Poofuwa.
The winter cream, the juniper.
Richard Herring, ripping you a new ear hole.
I sure am. And I've just heard the news, you may have heard it already at home, that EastEnders actress Edna Dore has died. She played Mo Butcher, but she was also in Time, Gentlemen, Please, which was a... sitcom I wrote on, playing the professor's mum, who was kind of a slightly odd character, and she would come in and paddle him with a paddle.
Oh.
And she was good. She was a lot of good fun. So I'm sorry to hear she's passed on. 92 years old. That's not a bad knock.
Not a bad knock.
Only 8 off the century. And then more news. Let me play my news jingle.
Well, that's news to me. News time.
It's news to no one, of course. The other thing, you'll all have heard that. I quite like this story in the Mirror from Tuesday again for some reason. Ashamed Edmund Aviv sits beside the road with a sign declaring, I am a bully, as an unusual punishment order by court. So this guy... But what's quite interesting is the size of the sign. Usually people have a little sign like I've stolen or something, and he's American. He's got this massive piece of cardboard and it's written on in hand. I mean, he's done some awful thing. I'll tell you what he did do.
Yeah,
his
by
victim,
the way, you know, you say all the stories from Tuesday, weirdly. You just got the papers on a Tuesday.
I did, yeah, it's weird. Victim Sandra Prue told the judge she and her husband, who suffers from dementia, had a son with paralysis, plus two adult adopted black children with cerebral palsy and epilepsy. And Mr. Aviv spat on her, put dog mess on a wheelchair ramp. I'd have said a naughty dog did that, and that would have got me off that. And made a racist remark while she was with the children. So as a result, he's not a nice man, but as a result, he's got this massive sign saying, I am a bully, I pick on children that are disabled, and I am intolerant of those that are different from myself. My actions do not reflect an appreciation for the diverse South Euclid community that I live in.
Amazing.
I mean, that is kind of... And then it's a picture of him looking quite grumpy, holding up this... Like, it's a...
Is that a court order? Is that all the punishment he gets? He doesn't get any other punishment?
I don't know if he'll get another punishment as well. I think the penal system is wrong in many ways. I was thinking about this today. I think it comes from childhood, where we feel you do something wrong, you get punished.
Yeah.
But the reason that is to stop you doing it again as a child because you're stupid. When we're adults, I think like a lot of punishment, just like punishing someone, like making them sit in a room, is not a good punishment. Yeah. Like locking them away. I mean, for things that when someone's been is dangerous, is going to murder people, then yeah, surely. But when people have done something that isn't dangerous, they should be made to do something productive or humiliating with their time.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, or, I do think that, yes.
Or we just reward people who don't do bad things. So you just you lose out on privileges if you're bad. You say, oh, well, you can't do this now because you've been bad.
Like
widescreen TVs for everyone who's good. If everyone got a widescreen TV, if they didn't do anything wrong, there'd be no bad stuff in the world.
Oh, yeah, it's a really fail-proof thing with no negative consequences. My nephews, if they're good, so they go to this school, which is in quite a deprived area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems with them, you know.
With what?
Well, just like a lot of the kids' parents, like, have got alcohol and drug problems and stuff. Thanks for asking.
I just wanted it clarified for the people at home.
I just hinted at it, alluded at it.
No, it's not good enough.
And so if the kids are good, they get to go to something like Alton Towers at the end of the year, and there's a coach, the whole school gets to go, and there's a coach of like 36 seats or whatever. Last year they took 4 children to Alton Towers. No one's good enough.
Well, that's good. That's how it should be. Yeah. Give people a reward if they're good. And those 4 people, and also no queues if only 4 of them are going. There's the ice cream van. Can you hear that?
Yeah. That's my reward for being so good.
Yeah, you can have an ice cream. This is another news story about Doctor Who, Tom Baker, who is everyone's favourite Doctor Who, I think, but certainly mine, who has branded BBC chiefs a bunch of monsters who are no better than the Daleks. The 8-year-old actor, the 4th Time Lord from 1974 to 1981, revealed he found it hard to work the bosses. In an astonishing tirade, he said the monsters on Doctor Who were never so amazing as monsters on the 6th floor of the BBC. There were some improbable-looking people there. Baker's comments come as the Horror Channel prepares to screen 30 of the best Doctor Who episodes from Friday. Oh, it's publicity. In one, he can be seen plotting to wipe out his archenemies, the Daleks, by touching together 2 pieces of wire, which is, I remember that story. Yeah. Baker, the show's longest-serving Time Lord, added, if someone gave me 2 wires now and said you could blow up the BBC, I'd be tempted. I love Tom Baker, though. We work with him as well. I hope he never dies, like the other person we work with. I feel partly responsible.
I hope Zane doesn't die.
I hope he doesn't die. We're going to look like chumps.
I hope you don't die.
I'm not going to die. I hope you don't die, Lou.
I think
there's a good chance you will die.
I just think menacing look in your eyes.
I just think there's an excellent chance. But we worked with Tom Baker on a show called Lionel Nimrod's Inexplicable World, in which he played Lionel Nimrod. He just presented the show, basically, at the beginning and the end. And we didn't meet him until the very last show of the series, which he appeared in.
And then what?
Well, he was just a lot of good fun. He came into the green room. It was the old Paris studios. This is how old this is, which is the old BBC studios that then got turned into offices. And he was going, Nicholas Parsons, what a cunt, and things like this to us. It was great. Just like that was theatrical. And we had quite an austere young producer called Sarah Smith, who, was very go-getting and quite frightening and obviously a feminist and all that sort of thing,
as you would expect.
Well, not obviously, but you know, she walked into the room, and the first thing he said to her, "Look at her with her tits all sticking out." It was like, because she was obviously having to keep him a bit sweet. She just had to pretend she hadn't heard it, so you could see her go,
"Oh no!"
And then she had to go, but it was sort of funny, but also. What a sexist thing to do. But it was funny. I saw Sarah the other day and I was just that reminded. I remember that Tom Baker thinking that what a man to say that into the face. I mean, at least he didn't do it behind her back. If he'd been behind her back, he wouldn't be able to see. She was walking with her, shoulders back.
She did have a body, God
damn it. She was a woman.
Taking her body
My goodness, she was a woman. I think I'll do another little blog for you now.
Please.
Because you're not looking like you want to join in a conversation. It's up to you.
I thought I was joining.
It's up to you.
Go on, do a blog, please. Oh, I'm all in.
Hey, what's in your diary?
That's a good question, Lou. What is in my diary? I'm looking back a few years now. I hope I haven't done this one before. I was at a music gig. You can tell it was a long time ago. Mm. And during the interval, I was busting for a wee. The queues for the porta cabin toilets were very long, so I made a desperate and antisocial decision to do my business on a patch of ground that doubled up as a car park. A large, shaven-headed bouncer eyed me as I passed, but he didn't stop me. Then, just as I unzipped my fly, he bellowed, "Oi, are you pissing on my car?" I now realise he'd been been stationed at this exit specifically to prevent this crime. He could have stopped me earlier when he saw me walking towards the area, but he wanted the theatrical effect of catching me in the act with my weapon in my hand like some kind of cop Columbo. It seemed unlikely this really was his car either, but I let that go and said, not yet, and I wasn't going to piss behind it. The honesty momentarily confused him. He was now standing right beside me trying to intimidate me, but for some reason I wasn't scared. I thought it was amusing. Why are you pissing in the car park? It's disgusting, you animal. He had a point, but let's not let that get in the way of my story. There's a big queue for the toilet, I said. So what? You'll queue up with everyone else pissing in the car park. Disgusting. It's not a car park, though, is it? It's a patch of ground with some cars on it. My wee would have drained away into the mud, I said. What if everyone did that, he asked. This piece of ground would become a fetid and unhygienic quagmire, but everyone isn't doing it, it's just me. I wasn't really trying to defend myself, I was clearly in the wrong, but his brackish honey trap had annoyed me, and I didn't like his threatening manner or his unnecessary lies about this being his vehicle. He was projecting his voice so the men in the toilet cube could hear, trying to humiliate me, but I wasn't humiliated, because I didn't believe there was a man in that queue who hadn't at some point weed in a car park. I could see he was annoyed at being appointed as an anti-urine monitor and was taking his frustrations out on me. I wasn't going to show fear or back down. I asked him if he'd never weed outside. He claimed he hadn't. I expressed astonishment at this lie. I think he then called me a muppet, but he wasn't talking distinctly. He might have called me a mop head. I do, as we've been discussing, have long unruly hair. Looks like a mop. But my face also resembles a blended hodgepodge of all the major Muppet characters, so it's hard to tell which one he was referring to. Wasn't it Jesus who said, let he who is without sin wee the first wee, I asked. He put his nose against mine and called me a muppet again. Or maybe a mop head. I don't know. I realised he might actually punch me and then accuse me of bleeding on his car. Common sense profoundly prevailed and I calmly walked over to the toilet queue. I couldn't have gone in the car park anyway. Things dry up when I'm being watched. Later, I felt shaken up for standing up to this gorilla. What was I thinking? I could have had my mop head smashed in. Or my muppet head. I don't know which one it is, though. My only regret is not clarifying which one he meant. There you go, that was a little...
I really like that one.
That was nice, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah.
I should do that. Do that as a routine.
One of the long songs.
Might put that in. We've only got two songs left. We've got the wonder stuff the size of a cow, and coming up later, the White Stripes, My Doorbell. And we could play them in either order, Lou, but I'm going to go for... I'm going to play the wonder stuff.
Yeah.
There's 18 seconds. Have you got a bit of chewing gum on your piece of paper?
Yeah.
You disgust me.
I'm just making a bin pile. Put the song up.
It's there, it's going. That was the wonder stuff with the size of a cow.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine something being the size of a cow.
Welcome back, listeners.
I'm imagining
the rest of the show.
A cow being the size of a cow.
I'm imagining a phone in about if you've seen any UFOs recently.
Cool. As that, we were listening to that very record, some very exciting news came in, Lou.
Whoa.
Because you thought you had the week off next week.
Yes.
But they've decided to give me the week off. I'm in St. Petersburg. I'm going to go to the place where Rasputin was murdered. I'm writing a play about the man who killed Rasputin, Felix Yusupov.
Very interesting man. Rasputin.
You could be if you want. We might work on that. You might have to shave a bit. but Lou will be here next week, in fact, and you're going to do a live show, so that'll be good practice for the proper show the week after.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you make loads of mistakes next week. And Ray Peacock is sitting in for me. And it'll be you and Ray Peacock.
Yes.
And if that chemistry really works, I'm guessing Ray Peacock's a lot cheaper to employ than I am, so they might just get rid of me.
And
to be honest, I'll fall on my sword. I'll be happy to go. I don't mind it. We've had a very good knock. I've very rarely done it. And we must have done this show for about 12... How many weeks do you think we've done?
Ten weeks? Not 9 or 10, yeah.
Feels like nine more. Feels like a lot, doesn't it?
I think how many hours of broadcasting
that's
that
a
is.
Lot of... A
Three
lot
times
of
ten?
Fucking rubbish.
300... No.
So don't be too good on the show with Ray Peacock.
Bear it in mind.
He'll probably just talk for ages about posters and stuff. That's what he usually does.
Last time he said something very rude, didn't he? We won't go back.
He was very rude.
Should we do this?
Maybe he'll talk about your chuff again a lot. But he's seen your... We haven't had to think
Everybody
about that.
Everybody does.
If you sit there, you're going to have to think about him having seen your tuppence.
Always comes back to that, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, let's play. Well, let's still call it this because we don't have a thing, but this is a game we're going to play. It's like we must do look how my points thing as well went as well. They said what? What did they say? What did they say? They said what? But it's not. It's just, oh, it's one of these as well. It's on a loop. I don't know who that guy is.
We've run out of dumb things celebrities
said. I can't believe that. You just haven't. I said to Lou, have you got anything for you said what? And she said, oh, no, I don't have anything for that this week. That's weird, isn't it? As if an elf came and delivered them to you rather than you doing some work on them. So,
that's really strange.
Leah hasn't got back to playing. I'm beating her 16-4 at pointless at the moment, so she's a bit of a poor player.
So bored about that.
Let's have a go at this game then.
So this game is, you have to guess whose children, celebrities' children are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Whose children celebrities' children are. Yeah, I can guess that.
Do you know what I mean?
Based on what?
Okay. Their name.
You're going to give them the name of the child,
so
and I have to say who's their mum and dad.
If I was to say to you, Moses and Apple, you'd know that straight away, wouldn't you?
It's Chris Martin.
Exactly.
And Gwyneth Paltrow.
I'm not going to say that. It's not a game.
When I interviewed Simon Pegg, for my Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, available on iTunes and the British Comedy Guide.
Yes.
I said to him, you know, because he's godfather to Apple.
Is he?
Yeah. And I said, don't they have something in christenings like they have at weddings where someone can go, is there any reason anyone here present wants to stop this happening? And I said, did you not feel like stopping it? And he didn't. He didn't really answer.
I
he just joked off.
He's probably a nicer guy than you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. I'm with it, yeah.
It's called Kal-El after Superman.
Kal-El, yeah. After, you didn't need to tell me that. Then I think that is the son.
Yes.
Of.
Yes.
Eminem.
No.
I think it is the son
of. I'll give you more clues about
Jerry Seinfeld.
No. Nope. I'll give you more clues about this celebrity.
Yeah.
Likes comics. That's his. I beeped out his name.
Okay.
He changed his last name.
I thought it was an impression of him.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm, I thought it was a racist impression.
No.
He likes comics. Yeah. I got that from him naming his son after Superman. So thanks for that pointless fucking clue. He likes Superman comics. He really likes Superman.
Hates Superman. It's a twist. His second name was Coppola. But then he changed it to
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, well done.
That was too good a clue because
I'm pleased.
See, my brain's still working. Hooray!
Still working,
I can think of the name of Nicolas Cage. It really is. Well, it doesn't get much opportunity. It doesn't get rolled out very much now, so to speak.
Right, there's a kid.
I don't roll it out like it's a plasticine sausage.
Okay. Oh right, it's a kid called Pilot.
Do you play along at home? Pilot, so someone who likes pens, someone who uses a lot of pens.
No, he did that because he heard a song by Granddaddy called He's Simple, He's Dumb, He's the Pilot, which is weird, really. Anyway.
Is it...
child of...
Is it Charlie Dimmock?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. No. Okay, he's in... maybe you've seen a Kevin Smith movie or the first season of... Oh, I can't give you the first that because it's too obvious.
Yeah.
Is
it Kevin Smith?
No, it's the guy from My Name is Earl. Do you know his name?
Oh, yeah. I would. In the old days, I was very good at this sort of thing. Sean Harrison.
Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't do the next one because it's too sad. It involves Bob Geldof and it's too sad.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Coco. Who is Coco, the child of, please now guess, Richard?
Well, Coco Chanel is the son, the daughter.
No.
Mr.
and
Mrs. Chanel.
It's a couple who have split up. They're both famous in their own right.
Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow.
No. It was a nickname that one of them used to have, the girl. And she's an actress. He's an actress. He's an actress. He was played by Drinking Joke Problems, and his name is David Arquette.
It's David Arquette is one of the people,
yes,
and Monica from Friends.
Yes, but what's her real name?
I'll
give you a clue.
Courtney Cox.
Yes.
I've caught my cocks.
Are we done with this game?
Yeah, I think we've had enough. It was very good. Thank you, Lou. It was very entertaining. I hope you had fun. But look, we're heading towards the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed playing along with that. I'll just see if Leah W. has played Pointless so we can... I know a lot of you be on tenterhooks to find out who's won this particular game of Pointless, but I think she's, you know, got some job or something where she can't just play immediately back. It's very exciting. I'm just redoing that. No, it's not going to come up. So, yeah, I won't be here next week. I'm being in St. Petersburg. I hope, you know, I'm not trapped. As Felix Yusupov, the murderer of Rasputin, was trapped in Berlin as World War I broke out. I hope World War III does not break out while I'm in Russia. And I'm forced to stay there with my wife.
I hope it doesn't.
Or we get nuclear bombed by America.
Oh, blast!
But, you know, London might get a nuclear bomb by Russia, and then it'll be good to be in Russia because I'll be safe there.
Hey, we've got 1 minute left. Let's end on a high.
So, you know, if this is my last show, if either I die on transit...
Thanks for having me.
Or thanks for coming along.
Thanks.
So to speak. So it'll be nice to have a week off for me, and I hope...
And for the listeners.
It's really just... That's why do you have to ruin just...
The last...
Why did you have to just ruin? I'm looking forward to 2 weeks.
That's my code name. So the Ruinator.
I'll be back in 2 weeks, and to play us out, as I subtly implied earlier in the show, it is the White Stripes with My Doorbell. You've been listening to this show. Thanks to Alex Zane. Thanks to Amanda. Thanks to Joe and Talia for taking Alex Zane out, and the other lady for coming in when Alex Zane was here for no reason. Thank you.